even need a podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Bob and Akiva need a podcast. Yeah, they'll find themselves your ideas. They'll talk about it till you've got it, your bill. Every weekend, you better attend. You can guess what will be coming up next. Bob and Akiva need a podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Bob and Akiva are back here today, and this week we're putting a few more R's into Renap as we are going to be talking about a film, RRR, aka Rise, Roar, Revolt. And here is a man who is always rising, always roaring, maybe revolting to some. Here is Uncle Kiwi.
Revolting. I got two R's in my name.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like to publicize the first one.
Yes. Yes.
Because if I say we knicker, it's much better than we nurker, which is what it actually is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm in a great mood. I'm excited to talk about this movie.
Yeah.
Rare Thursday record. A lot of times it's Saturday night or afternoon.
Yep.
I'm very excited for the movie. I feel like this podcast has been on a roll.
Mm-hmm.
Should continue today.
We have a hot takeoff last week, coming in hot. Mm-hmm. And we are so happy to have this woman back here with us. I believe last for Keeves Peeves last summer. And it might have been on that very episode that we first started talking about a movie to watch with this woman. Of course, that she is the co-host of the Mess Magnets podcast. Please welcome Sasha Joseph. Sasha, how are you?
I'm here, even though I'm on with two white people. They did not kidnap me.
No,
y'all.
Listen, like, we're not British. We're not British,
yes.
Sasha. This is a, exactly. This is a movie.
That's true. That's true.
It's these British people that are mm-hmm. the problem.
They're the bad guys.
We had a problem with
There's
them
diversity.
Too, Sasha. Yeah.
Yeah.
And y'all got rid of it much faster, unfortunately, than we did.
Yes. Okay. So first, let's just talk through the specifics here of so we originally had planned we're going to watch a Bollywood movie. This is a very popular movie that is currently on Netflix. You can watch it if you want before we are going to spoil it to hell. But Sasha, can you just explain the distinction of why is this not technically a Bollywood movie?
Yeah, so this movie is from Tollywood, which is a Telugu-speaking movie, which is why maybe a lot of y'all, if you look at it on Netflix, it'll say like RRR Hindi or RRR Telugu or Tamil. So it's been dubbed in a few languages around India and like, listen, India, billion people, like 18 official languages. So, you know, we're a diverse bunch. So this movie came out of Tollywood, which is a whole different state. And Bollywood with the B actually is from Mumbai, which is maybe what folks are more aware of when they think of Indian movies as Bollywood movies. But this movie's so big that, you know, I had to take a breath and let go of my like ideas for this podcast. And I said, okay, we can do this one. It's fine.
And then is this movie in terms of like how it feels like drastically different than a Bollywood movie, would you say?
Yes and no. I felt like it was more similar than not, I will say, but there are some major differences. Like usually Bollywood movies have the same tropes in that like it's usually some kind of like a values based movie, like family value, you know, whatever, or a romance mm-hmm. or a comedy. And then it kind of splinters off into whatever else it's going to be. And it's usually this extra 100%, but the songs are almost always cutaways where the movie we were going to watch, K3G or Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gum, like instead of kissing, they end up at the pyramids of Egypt.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like so as silly or as you have to like let go of all sense maybe
mm-hmm.
Versus I think these movies are a little bit more values based in that like that's the movie, like it's going to stick to its one value and then it's going to make it through. And I believe that they're better in a lot of ways than Bollywood movies, because Bollywood movies just like it can get a little extra and annoying. Like this was just a good movie, whereas mm-hmm. I think Bollywood sometimes can be hit or mm-hmm. miss.
Yeah. How big is this movie? Because it seems like a lot of people are talking about this movie. It looks like it just came out a couple of months ago, but is this like a worldwide phenomenon, this movie?
Yeah, allegedly, because this is now the biggest movie to come out of India on Netflix, period.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also the movie with the highest budget as well.
Yes.
Which is 72 million, right? And it's 550 crores, which is the Indian, the rupees of it, which is wild. Like, the most expensive Indian film, and it's not coming out of Bollywood, to me is wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you told me this movie cost $200 million, I'd believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
they spared no expense on a lot of these scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it grossed even more, right? Like, it grossed, I think it's saying on Wikipedia at least, like 150 to 160 million. So they're good.
Yeah.
They're good.
Okay. All right. So if people have seen RRR, is that what we should call it, or triple R?
RRR.
I think that's what they're calling it. Yeah. Was this a good name for this movie?
I think so. It's easy to remember. You're never going to confuse with anything else. You're never going to be like, what was that name?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I read that it was the working title for the movie, and they just ultimately liked it and kept it. But the director's last name starts with an R, and the two leads have either a first or last name R, and then they just decided to make it that. But it was sort of a working title that they stuck with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So RRR is here. And Sasha, is this based on a true story?
So the two main characters are real, in that they were two freedom fighters. So they exist, and that's where we kind of have to let it be, the reality of it all. As in, they existed, they fought for freedom in their own towns is like, you know, during British Raj, like, yeah. It's not necessarily a town, but for our understanding, town. And then them, like, becoming the superheroes and kind of coming together is where we go into, like, fantasy realm.
Okay. Akiva, what are your thoughts on RRR?
Well, I think it's important to like, I guess if someone's like, well, what is this movie? I'm not watching that. I'm just sort of want Rob, Akiva, and Sasha to paint the picture. Like Sasha said, it's a movie about two revolutionaries it's about 1920-ish, before 1920 India, when the Brits are controlling things, and you use the word superhero, and essentially this is a movie set in reality, but the two leads are court of RRR superheroes, right? Like, they in almost every scene can do superhuman things, and they can do crazy things. And it's not like played up like that, but they're just the strongest people in the world, and they can jump super high, and they could do, you know, like, unbelievable things. And I don't know. I think because they set it in like a grounded in reality, and there's no like science fiction, there's no unicorns and there's no dragons. And it's just, it's a historical fiction with like basically two, you know, superheroes who don't have powers. They're just like, they can jump and punch and, you know, do whatever they want. It's pretty interesting.
I feel like that Beam had some powers.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I will say also in Hindu mythology, their gods, like Ram, who plays the character Raju. It's too many R's. Yeah, I'm over it already.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so he plays Raju, right? He's the bootlicker, the cop. And so Ram is a god that towards the end of the movie, right, he dons his bow and arrow and the orange outfit. That's actually like what Lord Ram looks like. And he's a descendant of Shiva. And, you know, it's like, for all you Jews out there, like, closest is like King David types, maybe. And then Bheem is known for his super strength. Like, that is the god Bheem. So that's why I felt like it was also interesting that they dipped into like Hinduism and like religion to give them their like quote unquote not power.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Bheem is the other guy, the shepherd, right? He has super strength, like that's his thing.
Yeah.
So Bheem's the shepherd, for people to know, and Raju is a police officer who's got a secret.
I'd say more of a soldier, right?
He's a police officer. Yeah.
But in some countries, I think, especially in like wartime or if they're like taking over, there's a very thin distinction in a lot of countries between police officer and soldier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so in the beginning of the film, that there is a young girl who is taken away from her family, from her mom, from her village, that there is a governor. Is that the right title of the English ruler who's there? And he basically his wife says like, oh, she did like these really nice tattoos. Let's keep her.
Yeah. Which is, I don't know, I'm laughing. It's so wild because this stuff definitely used to happen. Like there's many stories about a colonization and just like what the British did. If you're watching Miss Marvel, you know a little bit of like the end version of it. But this is kind of like the before of it where, yeah, it was just, they came as like the British came as like, oh, we're just doing trade with you. And then eventually took over and became the rulers. So yeah, it just seems like Ray Stevenson of Thor, if anyone's watched Thor, is the governor and just says, mine now.
Yeah. And I don't even know why they wanted to keep her. It seems like they didn't even like her.
Because they can, right? Like she says, I want it for my mantelpiece. Like that's what Catherine, the governor's wife, says. So I think it's just her voice, and then she has like she can do henna, but it's you're in India. Who can't do henna? Like, why do you need to like take a little girl?
Mm-hmm.
Horrible ass people.
Yeah. So it's horrible. All of these people, these colonialists, they are all monsters in this movie. But there's one who's nice, Jenny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jenny's nice.
All Jennies are nice. Like, yeah.
Hey, truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that basically sets up that then we meet Raju, who is that we see him in action, and like we don't know in the beginning of the movie that he's actually has a secret mission that he's working on. He just seems like the baddest police officer that they're sending out to accomplish whatever. He's kind of like their, would you say Jack Bauer?
Yeah, he is like their Jack Bauer, but for the bad guys here.
Yeah, for the bad guys.
Yeah.
Sure. And
so here's also a thing, Rob, in all Indian movies, usually, like it doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be Bollywood. It's a thing called hero key entry, which is like the hero's entry. So that's why if you notice both of them, Bhim and Raju have this like really good entrance,
yes.
Right? Where this entrance is like there's fire because it's fire and water, kind of is the theme that shows up in the whole movie. So there's like a torch, yeah, that goes in front of the fence and then it's his face. So this is like a thing where if you just look up like any Bollywood movie, Bollywood is my reference, that's why I say Bollywood a lot. But anyway, any Bollywood movie, like, yeah, the hero's entry is just like outrageous, mm-hmm. and in the best way possible. Like, I love it. Yeah. I love it.
And yeah, this was really, really fun. You know, I didn't know about like the different twists and turns that this was going to take. Like, this really kept me on my toes the whole way through. So we have the introduction of Raju, and then we find out about how that the village has a shepherd, and that's Bhim, and he is going to be on a mission to try to bring the little girl back to the village. But Raju in the police doesn't know that a shepherd is on the loose and is going to try to coming to go and rescue the little girl. But these two people, so they're like these two superheroes are out there, and they end up working together unbeknowingly to each other to save a young boy who is in there's like a train that derailed and exploded. And Akiva, what I was not expecting was for these two people seemingly at odds to become the best of friends. A bromance breaks out.
Yeah, one of the great bromances in movie history, honestly. It's crazy. It's crazy. First of all, we haven't even mentioned, like, there's so many insane things happen in this movie.
Yes.
Like, we haven't even mentioned, like, Raju, there's a scene where a lot of Indian people are at, like, the police station, and they're, like, about to riot and, like, overtake the police station. Mm-hmm. And then Raju beats up, like, 10,000 people. Not an exaggeration. They just, like, the whole protest jumps on him.
Yeah.
And he just, like, demolishes them. It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're protesting the death of another freedom fighter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also the connection. And this scene, y'all, actually, I think had 2,000 or 1,000 people, like, real. And then everything else is CGI.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. They have 2,000 extras and Raju kicks all their asses. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
period.
The movie also, like, skirts this weird line between, like, there's a lot of violence. Like, you cannot watch this movie with your like, young kids or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't show. I don't know if this is a Indian cinema staple or what, they don't show a lot of, like, guts and gore. Like, yes, he's, like, killing these people, ostensibly some of them, but you don't see a lot of, like, deaths, and it's, like, a little bit more ambiguous. He's just, like,
I don't know, I feel like there was a lot of, like, slow motion of, like, bullets and arrows, like, piercing through people's bodies.
There
and,
were,
like,
but you don't just see, like, and a lot, like, of, I think, spatter. In that scene,
and the blood, the blood tear.
Like,
I don't
a river of blood at one point.
Yeah. But do you know what I'm saying? Like, they don't show a lot of dead bodies. Yeah. It's like cartoonish violence, and it's, like, open-ended if a lot of these people
and how they kill Mully's mom.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about that. That's, like, I don't think I ever remember watching a movie and gasping as much as when they, is she dead? Because is she at the end of the movie?
Yeah, she's mom? Dead. No, because this is where the governor says, right, like, do you know the cost of a bullet? Which is also a theme during the whole movie,
yeah.
Where it's like,
great,
we're not going to kill.
End.
Yeah, where we're not going to kill.
Waste a bullet.
You waste a bullet. Sorry. Yeah. Kill Indians with a bullet. Because it's the same as, like, Indians and dogs not allowed in the movie theaters. Like, that's how mm-hmm. we, you know, it's similar vibes to maybe what it was in America for segregation. Anyway, so so they say you can't waste a bullet. Do kill them another way. And then it's, like, brutal how they mm-hmm. murder her.
Yeah. I guess.
And then take her.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, because mm-hmm. it's like this woman is, like, a hero, and you figure, like, all right, she's gonna be getting her kid back, and then no, it's insane.
Yeah. So oof. We get our two main characters here together, and Akiva, they end up forming this bromance where they end up working together. I thought they're going to save this kid, and then realize immediately after that, hey, we're on the opposite side of the law here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because Beam is, like, trying to be sort of, like, incognito, undercover. You wouldn't think that he would befriend a police officer who he is very much working against, but they end up, like, going into a montage, and they become the best friends ever.
Yeah, the train crash that you mentioned, I mean, they're, like, literally flying off a bridge, just, like, swinging on each other, doing just completely insane things.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they're best buddies.
Okay.
Yeah, and, like, don't listen to physics, like, please.
No.
This movie is at odds with physics almost in
100%.
Okay.
And the flag, I will say that that Raju holds, you know, and then that Bhim wraps around himself. It says Vande Mataram on it, which is, like, I praise motherland. And that's, like, what you sing. It's, like, it's not necessarily the oh my God, the national anthem, but, you know, it's a poem that was written mm-hmm. and it's sung a lot by, like, in these moments, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. So that's also why I was like, okay, maybe he's not a bootlicker that I thought he was.
Yeah. So you start
maybe
to
they're trying
come
to tell
around.
Me that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, I know you're not a big music guy, but the music in this movie is, like, a 10 out of 10.
Slaps,
it's insane.
It's a banger.
It's so good. It's, like, such good pump up music. Sometimes I feel like it rhymes in English if you're, like, watching the subtitles. I don't know. It just felt like it. But they it's so good. Like, it gets you really hyped up. I don't know if we could, like, play some of the music at the end or something. But the soundtrack is like a 42 out of 10. It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God. So, Sasha, we see the bromance develop between Bhim and Raju. And they end up they're doing all this stuff together. They hang out every single day. And so, it got me thinking, you know, and this podcast really is a bromance. So, I mean, out of me and Akiva, who do you feel like is Beam and who is Raju?
Oh, good question.
Oh. Oh, my God. Neither. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, I think, Rob, you are for sure Raju, because I think you're the one in charge. Mm-hmm. You know, you like, and not just this, but like you're, you know, the daddy network, right? Mm-hmm. So I just feel like that's your vibe where, and there's layers to you where you're like, no, I'm not just a cop. You know, I'm, I go hard for my people. Whereas I think Akiva is very much like, what you see is what you get. He's like, this is who I am. This is why, you know, I have a big family. I'm going to protect them. I ride hard for, you know, Renap, and that's it. That's who I am. So that's why I feel like that's who y'all are.
That's
how do you think I'd do as a shepherd? Do you think I'd be a good shepherd?
I think they might get lost, but you know, you mean well. Yeah.
They get lost.
Do you think Akiva could wrestle any animals?
Stuffed animals, yes. I think Akiva can do it. No problem.
Maybe like a small cat.
And Rob is going to be high jumping fences next time we see them all.
The thing that thematically really got me, Sasha, was this idea of, okay, this person is my best friend. And at this point in the movie, you don't know that Raju is actually a freedom fighter himself. You don't know till later on in the movie what his actual purpose is. You think he's just like somebody who's trying to rise up through the ranks to be, you know, a special officer. And so what if your best friend was actually your worst enemy?
Ugh. Wow. You know, it. That's where you have to decide. But here, like I said, I just feel like Raju is so wrong that I'm always going to be like, no, you just let go of your duties and go help out your friend. Because that's what Beam did, right? He literally later on like helps Raju out even at his own peril versus Raju, who's very like end game focused, right? He's like, this is what I want. No one's going to get in the way, period. Right. So I feel like you should be a better friend, but you know, Raju, maybe not so much right now.
Akiva, maybe the closest that this might happen in real life is if you had a best friend, but then you found out that your best friend was having an affair with your wife. I think that's the closest.
That's the closest.
I think that would be the closest. Yeah. And then one day you find out,
but and then he was sleeping with your wife to save the nation, and you're like, well, can't get mad.
Well, then later
you submit this to tinyurl.com/missmagnets so we can talk about it.
Dear Kirsten and Sasha. My best friend is sleeping with my wife, but it's for a reason.
RRR is actually my life story plot. How do I sue them?
Who would be more likely to send in the story, Beam or Raju? I feel like it would be, I guess, the person who was the cheater, I think, would be more likely to share the story of like, hey, I'm having an affair with my best friend's wife, but the reason why and my best friend doesn't know this, but the reason I'm doing it is because we're trying to save our country.
I feel like Beam would, don't you think? Because Beam is like, yo, let me give you some tea. Now can you use your clout to help
Sasha,
me get to Mali?
We see in the movie, Raju is a much more prolific at writing letters about what's going on.
That's true.
That's okay, fine.
But he's not as introspective, but that is a good point. He does write more letters.
Beam just needs more help, y'all.
You could fix him.
And, I could do it.
Yeah, so during this best friends era of the film, which, you know, and the movie like takes on, like, it's several different movies in one. So this is sort of 100%. Like the romantic comedy.
40 minutes till the credits. The opening title sequence is 41 minutes to this movie.
But that's like a lot of, again, that's a lot of Bollywood movies too. Yeah, like a lot of Indian movies where it's kind of like, when the climax starts is when they're going to be like movie name.
Yeah. I liked it.
I like it too. I feel like you're like, oh yeah, that's a movie I'm watching. Thank you. Yeah. I needed it.
That's good. Cause sometimes I feel like it's like a good check-in.
Yeah.
That's it. How about you? Maybe we should do that. Like, should we, Akiva, should we play the theme song again for Renap?
Yes.
Or maybe
40 minutes. Do you want to play it now?
Maybe next time we should just start the podcast and then like 40 minutes in, just hit.
Good idea. Like, yeah. Remind us next week, Amanda.
Let's do that. Episode 183. We'll just come on. mm-hmm. and just start talking and then like hit like a really big point and then like the music.
Exactly. Yeah.
I like it. I like it. It's, that's all the preamble, the whole like first 40 minutes. I do like that.
Mm-hmm. It's like cold open.
The, I like it.
It's a cold open. It's just 41 minutes and it's about $50 million worth of
with a movie
CGI.
Yeah. But, so sorry, when Raju and Bhim are like in the best friends sit in there, go fishing and they ride like Bhim rides a horse, Raju rides a motorcycle and they hang out together, Bhim ends up seeing a woman that he kind of has the hots for. And he needs, it's like a meet cute of where he and I believe there's literally like a meet involved. And he's going to like, he needs Raju to help him like, get the woman Jenny, he gets a date with her.
Yeah, I love it because this man, neither of them speak each other's language, but the language of love looks like prevails because they're like, how do we do this? I think she's so cute. Let's make this happen. And of course, because Bhim is acting like Akbar, a Muslim man in New Delhi or in Delhi. Sorry, I don't think it was New Delhi then. In Delhi, he's like, great, I'm a mechanic. So that means I got to mess with her car. So Raju, the brain speed is like 100,000. Imagine playing Among Us with Raju. You know, like we're all dead. Because he moves so quick. He's like, great.
Literally kill you. Yeah.
Literally. Okay. Mm-hmm. He come through my screen. I don't know. And he just like puts the nails down. I was like, no, not this. Like, this is so cheesy. But I loved it. Mm-hmm. And Jenny's in. Jenny said, yes. I'm here. Okay. Let's go.
Now, Sasha, did Bhim actually have any feelings for Jenny, or was he just only using her to get into the governor's mansion so that he could get in to accomplish his mission?
Bhim's a good person, y'all. Please. Mm-hmm. No, I think it was both, and because I think he knew, right, that she works there because he stalked the gates of the governor's mansion. Mm-hmm. So I think he knew, and I think it felt like serendipity that it all lined up, as in any Indian movie ever. That, you know, your plot has to like line up correctly. Like, there's no, it's not like Hollywood in that we have to leave unsatisfied. It's not possible. It's impossible. That's not a thing that happens. So they were like, how do we make this happen? Because everyone needs love. So mm-hmm. here we go. So I think that he did like her, and she was the only good British person. So they're like, okay, we'll give mm-hmm. one good British and then we'll make her fall in love. So yeah. I've two-part.
But they don't get together at the end of the movie.
Listen, we all don't need to like mm-hmm. love don't the equal missed marriage. Connection. I think it served its purpose. Some people are Mr. Right now, and mm-hmm. some people are Mr. Right. So she was Mrs. Right now.
Do you think, Sasha, that she could be back in the sequel? RRRR.
Yeah, I think it's a fourth R. They are definitely going to make a sequel, Sasha, right? This movie was too big.
They were saying that they don't want to, but like, look at the cost. Look at the money they're bringing in. They're making a sequel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, if she comes back, I think this time she needs to learn Telugu, I think, because they're all speaking Telugu, but Hindi because it's dubbed. She needs to speak it, or I'm going to need Bhim to get an upgrade. One of the two. Because I like this whole, like, them two being awkward was cute for the first movie. And, like, it's over. Like, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite is when he tries to learn her name. And he's like, don't call me ma'am. My name is Jenny. Don't call me ma'am. And then Raju has to be like, no, her name's just Jenny. She's saying, don't call me madam.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what like, that was cute.
Yeah.
Not knowing, like, not having a language in common with your wife. Think that would help your marriage?
I think in some ways, I think it would help. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to forget English, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds good.
You have to have one language. There's no way. That's so hard.
Yeah. I don't know. It seemed like it was working for them. And ultimately, like, you know, Bhim kept getting more dates and he gets invited to go to like this this ball. And this was where the movie, I thought, got really wild. when we were at the governor's mansion for this ball, because there's this one really jerky British guy, and he's such a jerk, and he says he's the best dancer in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, look
spoiler,
like a slave.
He's not.
Like, but,
stop it.
Yeah, so where does this guy get off telling everybody that he's the greatest dancer?
Listen, they've taken over all these countries, right? It's the empire that never sleeps, mm-hmm. or the sun never sets on the British Empire. You know, the ego is a little bit, and they're like, these savage Indians, they don't know anything. But you in India, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. Look at the music,
you
look at the dances.
Knocked down a peg a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And he did. Because usually in New Bollywood, I will say that I've been fast forwarding all the song numbers because I'm just like, come on, like 3-4 minutes of a song. That's why mm-hmm. your movie is like an hour too long. But I loved it. I like the song a lot. Nacho Nacho is the Hindi version of it. And I don't
Ruck,
know.
Can we hear a little bit of Nacho Nacho?
I mean, how do I do that, Akiva?
T-Series gonna get free.
I bet it's on YouTube.
Yeah?
Nacho Nacho.
Yeah, it is.
I'm mm-hmm. sure it is. But anyway, while you possibly look, I do think, yeah, I agree. It would not be one of the things that would interest me in general. But yeah, the dance scene is amazing. And it's like, well, you know, if you thought like, hey, Beam and Raju are like the two strongest men in the world, well, good news. They're also the two best dancers.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
So, like, this guy is kind of like a dancing bully, Sasha, because he trips Beam while he's dancing. And then, like, haha, like, you idiot. You have two left feet. You can't even dance. And then basically, like, challenge him to a dance-off. But what you don't know, because they never really established that Beam or Raju are good dancers before this. They're the world's best dancers. And mm-hmm. they have seemingly, like, either they have just, like, amazing chemistry, or they've choreographed a whole dance number before they even came to the party.
That's Bollywood. Yeah. That's Indian anything. Yes. Yeah. So that's where 100% on brand. All these stars, I mean, and these two are really big Telugu stars, but any Indian movie star needs to know how to dance.
Yes.
All the singing is voice, they're lip syncing, but you have to know how to dance. Like, that's a thing. Any movie you watch, everyone knows how to dance. Everyone is like in a spontaneous flash mob at all times. And then because you have now watched this, now I know the step. That means that 10 other people at any event I'm at will probably know, you know, that leg step. And if you were like at my wedding or, you know, anywhere, like, unfortunately, that does happen where everyone knows the dance moves. And it does become like everyone does the move when the song comes on.
OK,
so you think they practiced?
In the movie. I think it's that, like, they're like, this is our traditional step and this is what mm-hmm. we're going to do.
Right.
It's like, okay, their minds melded
yeah,
together.
They have such good chemistry.
Yes.
But Sasha, so, okay, just in the production of the movie, are there ever dance doubles in any of these films? Ooh. Or would that be a big scandal if, like, if we found out that one of the actors, it's actually Ram, is not actually dancing in that scene, that he had a dance double for this movie?
Yeah, this is where, like, I wish we could have watched a Bollywood movie because you would know the answer. But if you see someone named Salman Khan, that man cannot dance. Okay, like, mm-hmm. Salman Khan fans, do not come for me, please.
Is he the biggest star?
Please, no. Shah Rukh Khan is the biggest star in my heart and in reality. No, I'm just kidding. So that there's three Khans in Bollywood: Amir Khan, Salman Khan, and Shah Rukh Khan. Shah Rukh Khan is the better dancer of all three, but that's not saying much, okay? Like, they're hugely popular, and even then, if you see a Salman Khan, like, dance number, you will know that anyone can mm-hmm. dance.
Yeah.
Like, period. He just moves, I think, his shoulder and the rest of his body don't move. Like, it's very weird, y'all. So no,
but they
it
never
would be
give
a
him
scandal.
A double. You're saying
no, it's not allowed. Like scandal that it, the movie was shut down.
Mm-hmm. Because wow. Sasha, if Akiva and I made a movie, we would need to learn the dance moves. We couldn't get a dance double.
Yes, exactly. Did you did y'all watch Eternals? I don't know if you've seen
up
Eternals
to that yet in the Marvel's cinematic
but
universe.
Anyways, yeah. But Kumail Nanjiani's character is a Bollywood actor and he himself cannot dance. So he took like months of dance practice to do like a 30-second number. So like you would be going to boot camp.
Was that the same like camp where he took the steroids or was that a different one?
How dare you? No, I'm just kidding. He definitely took steroids.
Oh my God.
Listen, it's the Marvel package. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
The point is that, like, I know it's not an option. You have to dance. They will modify the steps for you. Like, here's my question for y'all. Do you think that the video is sped up? Because how can their legs move that fast?
Yeah, it's a good question. They are, like, dancing like nobody's ever danced before. I think there's some movie magic in there for sure.
Mm-hmm. Sasha, the two leads in the film, Raju and Beam, which of them is the bigger star? Are they equals or is one bigger deal than the other?
Yeah, they're equals because when this movie had come out, it was like a war of the stands between the two, like who is the bigger star? Yeah. But I think one's just older than the other, you know, so there's difference in that. But I think they're pretty similar. I also don't know a lot about Telugu, but what I looked up, it is that they're pretty similar and they both dubbed the movie in Hindi too. So it's their voices if you watch it in Hindi, which I think is cool. So they're like really committed to this. If we are talking about big stars, believe it or not, Raju's love interest is currently one of the biggest Bollywood stars.
Okay.
Alia Bhatt is her name, who plays Sita. She is probably number one right now in Bollywood. And then his dad, the old guy that ends up, is also Baba. A huge Bollywood star. Yes, is a huge Bollywood star. And they both like learned Telugu for the film. So they are like, they're the reason I watch the movie. Like that's how big they are.
Akiva, were you more of a Beam stan or a Raju stan?
I think it's interesting.
The actor.
I understand. Well, I was definitely a Beam guy the whole way. You know, you never know. Is Raju going to be bad? Is he good?
Yeah.
It's, you know, you're not sure. I can't, like, I'd like to meet the people who are rooting for Raju the whole time, you know?
That's why I'm saying the actor, not the character.
Oh, which actor's better? I think Raju has a little bit like, you know, he's more physically dominant in the movie. Mm-hmm. He's interesting, but I'd like to see both of them in more stuff. They're both really good, but I'd probably lean that the actor plays Raju.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm cheering fine. Okay, like when he walked into that party, I was like, hello, hi.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? But yeah, and these two have been like rivals for like 30 to 35 years.
Oh, in
positive, like as in like friendly rivalry, right? I had to look up their ages because like what does this mean? Because their families have been in the film industry, so
their legacies.
Yes,
because we have a Wikipedia rule.
Yes,
I have a Wikipedia rule.
Like, what's the Wikipedia rule?
If your parents have a Wikipedia page, you shouldn't be allowed to be a celebrity.
Then I don't think you can watch anything in Bollywood.
I've made that rule before. Maybe on NGOG we made it, but okay, it's a. Yeah,
then
you
can't just like minimize out.
Yeah, I
you don't agree? I think it's a good rule, Rob.
No, that's dumb. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
You can't like it has to skip a generation.
No, most of the best celebrities, I feel like, and athletes.
So you're pro nepotism.
It's not nepotism.
Because my rule would exclude Dominic and Anthony from becoming famous.
Yeah, but like. There's so many people that are like I'm talking about like look at like athletes that you have somebody who is like okay so their parent was like a success. Mm-hmm. It's not nepotism when somebody like comes in who like you know like what about like Steph Curry for example
well what about Steve Belichick Belichick's okay. kids run his whole defense now.
Okay, but that's different. First of all, like, does Steve Belichick have a very robust Wikipedia page? It's one thing if your parents give you a job, but I feel mm-hmm. like that if you are sort of like born with these like talents from, you know, your from your parents, like having the same talents, and then you are around that thing for your entire life. Like, I think that you are like set up to achieve a lot more. Like half of the people in wrestling, like their parents are were in wrestling. It's not like nepotism.
Mm-hmm. And like,
yeah, the Rock's dad was a wrestler.
Yeah, and Aaliyah, the Rock's whole family. Period. Mm-hmm. And half of this whole cast will be out because Aaliyah, but who plays Sita, Rob, she's actually the mess we talked about on the first episode, the one who got married.
Yes, so she's married to a much older guy.
Yes, he's 10 years older than her. His family is part of like a dynasty. Like mm-hmm. their grandparents have been in the film industry. Anyway, but she is, a director's daughter, but she's like outstanding. Yeah. Any movie she does has been like, I don't want to be robbed of Aaliyah Bhatt. Absolutely mm-hmm. not.
Yeah, and when we say 10 years older is not that huge of a difference, like in perspective, but what she was like, what, like 11 when she met?
Yeah, they met when, she was 11. He was 21 on the set of his first movie. Yeah. Right. Listen, nepotism, because her dad was a director, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, no.
Y'all hit a nerve, because I will say all of Bollywood is nepotism, and that's like mm-hmm. a big thing right now, and I don't want to get into that mess, but it's mess. Let's just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a lot of fighting with animals in this film.
The movie starts with them making clear like it's that no animals are harmed, and like 95% of the animals are CGI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, which is like important for the board in India. Like, they don't have it in this movie.
What's
but
the board?
If you have any, like the censor board, okay. It's like they're very involved. If there's like I just watched a really great movie actually, and they had they reveal the sex of the baby like when they're doing an ultrasound, and that's not allowed in India because of female infanticide. So there's a warning at the start, like that says this is mm-hmm. illegal. This is just for the movie. If someone's mm-hmm. smoking, they have that. If someone's drinking, they have that. Like,
oh my god.
Like while the movie's happening. So this stuff is like very.
Yeah, the movie has like sponsors. There's a bunch of sponsors before the movie. Yeah. It's like it's a little different than Hollywood.
The credits are very weird.
The credits are weird. It's almost like the end credits are in the beginning of the movie.
The end credits are in the beginning. Yeah. It feels like the movie's over.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to like kiss the ring. Like if there were any like special appearances, that person would have been like one of the first credits, because it's usually mm-hmm. Big star that they get. So they'll be like special thank you to Shah Rukh Khan or Amitabh Bachchan, because mm-hmm. those two are usually the ones that show up. And then they'll be like special, and they get like a whole title card just to themselves.
And Sasha did demand that for this episode. She has to be listed before me.
Special credit. Yeah,
it's the truth. I'm the summer blockbuster. I only come on once every summer.
Mm-hmm. So we get to a point where, okay, Beam is going to, like, he's got a big plan. He's going to come in and he's going to make his move to try to rescue Molly from the clutches of the governor. And so he shows up with, like, basically an entire zoo somehow. In a cage. And Sasha, I thought the movie did not really explain where Beam got access to all of these caged tigers, bears, lions.
Oh my.
Yeah.
So that is in my second watch is where I clocked it that they did show it. But in the first watch, Rob, I was like, where did these come from? What the hell? So, Beam's entry, right? His Hiroki entry was via water, where we see his reflection on the water. And then he's hunting that tiger.
Right.
Which we didn't really talk about. But yeah, so he has so this is where we see a superhuman strength, where he like douses himself in blood and is trying to chase the wolf. to catch him, and then a tiger comes and he just punches the tiger in the face.
I forgot about that scene.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's Beam's like entry.
That's this kind of movie. You like forget about scenes where he literally knocks out a tiger.
Mm-hmm. And he holds it together. He holds the ropes together that's like has the tiger net in his hand by his hand.
I'm like sweating during that scene.
Yeah. And then they slap the tiger with like, what is it? Like unconscious agent. So basically all of that hunting is for this scene.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes. So that's where they had that's where the tiger goes. That's where like the wolf goes. And then, there are like certain moments where they're like, Beam, why do you keep eating so much? Are you always hungry? And he's walking with like that huge cow leg. And then actually I was like, I did not see this in the first watch, but they like, he throws it into like a, like the huge cow, he has like two legs of a cow.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. And he throws it, you know, into that like cage thing. That's where the animals are. Oh. So I guess they like showed up.
So he was just like keeping these animals like in a garage for like a rainy day of like one day.
For this moment.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's pouring.
That was incredible. Tigers. Yeah. That was incredible.
Yeah.
That's a good catch, Sasha. I didn't.
Yeah. Until the second one. I was like, wait, that's what this is.
But ultimately,
but it doesn't work, Rob.
Not really. Like he doesn't save the girl, and I'm pretty sure, like ultimately, probably the British, you know, shot and killed all those animals.
Yeah,
I don't think the animals survived.
Yeah, but it was a big pop in the movie when he lets them all go.
That is the one of the best scenes I think I've seen in Indian movie. And like usually I'm like I'd rather watch like color, and you know, like I like when the outfits are shown and all the like the festival of Holi is usually a lot of these entrances where you literally throw water balloons and color on each other. But this scene was just and he just like comes out of one of the cages too. I was like, well, where did you come from, sir? Oh, it was so good. My mom made me like watch it three times. She was like, no, this was too good. We have to watch it again.
The security at this, evil castle really leaves a lot to be desired. I mean, they're constantly breaking in. It's
bumbling. Mm-hmm. not great.
And I have to say, this is 1 hour of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We are now at the intermission where you can get a samosa and popcorn break. That's what you do in India.
Oh, I would like that.
It's every hour?
No, just like at the halfway point, which is I think where this one kind of was. Mm-hmm. Probably at the end of this scene, right? Where they all fight each other. Mm-hmm. Where, you get the title, another title card comes on where it says intermission.
Yeah. That's like the mailbag.
You literally go out.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Correct. And then you go out and get your food. And by the time you're almost done with your food, the movie starts. It's like a 20-minute break. You get to walk around.
Oh, wow. It's a long break.
But listen, you need a break.
Right before the animals get released at the governor's mansion, so Raju is starting to like get a sense of what's going on. And so that he interrogates a person that is working with Beam. And during this interrogation, who is this person? Is this person related to Beam?
So I think all these people from the Gond village, right? Or the tribe have shown up to Delhi. Like they're all together. So Raju met one of the people, not Beam, the main guy, but he met the other people at like a freedom fighters meeting. And at the start of the movie. And then he's been kind of dodging him since, but Raju finally catches up to him as the artist. And I don't know if y'all caught it, that it was Jenny's car that had the same blue as this guy. I forget his name, honestly, but whatever, it doesn't matter. The guy who Raju is after, and he's like, wait, Jenny's car has that blue, and I remember his hand had that blue. He must be a painter, and that's how he catches him. So it's all connected.
In the interrogation of one of these guys, this guy picks up a snake and then gets the snake to bite Raju, and that he has 1 hour to live. And meanwhile, Raju has kind of like clocked Beam. And so he knows that Beam like that he's up, what he's up to. And Raju has to stop him, but he's also been bit by the spider. Or the snake, and has less than an hour to live. And luckily, Beam like knows what to do. So he actually goes to great lengths to save Raju. In doing so, he kind of like risks his own life to save Raju in this, Akiva. And he says to him that I have your friendship, which is more precious than my life. Again, Akiva, like I thought about us.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you get bit by a snake, you're on your own. I don't like snakes. Oh. It's probably still.
But you're the only one that has the antidote.
Yeah.
Oh, if I have the, I'll give you the antidote, but I'm probably running away if there's like a snake on the loose still.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect you to do the same. What, you're saying you'd save me?
I mean, that's what I thought. I thought this was. It, yeah.
Well, the problem is the snake. I think like snakes are a deal breaker for me.
I mean,
well, no,
but you don't see the snake
is the issue here.
Mm-hmm.
The snake really is kind of spooky.
Yeah.
All right, fine. I'm in.
Sasha,
I'm back in.
This is the same man that I was doing a podcast with him one day, and he had to leave because that he had to go kill a snake in his house.
It was a baby snake. It was tiny.
Yeah.
Really tiny.
But you don't even see the snake, and you don't want to say, you know what, Rob? I think he wants to take over the podcast. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Watch where I sit.
Yes. Look out for a red snake. It was a little red snake. I don't think I've ever seen a snake like that. But and not only the antidote, because he like tells all these people, right? You go here and get this and get that. But he also gives his mala, or like his tali, which is like the thread, the safety thread that he needs to beat the British, and he gives it to Raju.
Hmm. Yeah. So. No, that was a big moment in the movie, and we see like Raju like he wants to say to Beam about like I got your ass, but he can't because he's incapacitated.
Oof.
Here's
where you have to be like, isn't my tribe more important than this bootlicker that's been lying to me?
Yeah.
And maybe I like. Hold it out a little bit more so that he's incapacitated. Like, is it possible for him to be incapacitated for like 3 more hours? You know, that's the question.
Now, he bounced back pretty quick.
Yeah. And that's what I didn't like, because he started punching the wall. I was like, didn't you just wake up from an antidote and now you're punching the walls?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think that's the least realistic thing he does in the movie, to be
okay.
He flies when he needs to fly. Yeah. They can run up a 50-foot, you know, freaking building if they need to.
But Akiva, you know, if I have like one too many white claws, like it takes me like a whole day to bounce back. Like snake venom.
Yeah.
Come on.
But you're not a superhero.
I'm not a superhero. Yeah,
just a podcast superhero.
Yeah. That's it. That's it.
Would you ever go undercover like him as a podcaster?
How would I do that?
How would it work, Sasha? Like, maybe if you're like, you're trying to get information on other podcasts, so you're like, go undercover, pretend to be someone else, get on the podcast. You're like,
but
maybe
how
you're
would
a
they let
cell.
Him on?
Mm.
Like, we'd have to spend like a year, you know, which I guess is where, spoiler alert, happens. So yeah, I guess we would have to play the long game where you're now have a new voice modulator mic, you know, T-Pain. And then you're now like building a whole persona somehow. You know, you got onto RHAP as a guest, and then we got to like put you on a few other podcasts, you know, maybe your 32 fan stand, and then I think we have to go from there. But it's like, it's gonna be a year in the making to give this new persona the clout.
Alright, so I have a new persona, okay? This is the new podcast.
Oh my god, what's happening?
I have to go. I have to leave. Absolutely not.
Wait, what am I trying to infiltrate? What am I trying to infiltrate?
You are the other R in Rob, so you already have the R. Mm-hmm. I don't think
trying to become the third mess magnet, but you can't let them know that you're Rob.
He's the daddy network. He can do whatever the hell he wants. We've established that.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I mean, like, I think you could go undercover and just like have like a this is a podcast about blah 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 blah, and then like people like will just like flock to you. No.
Yeah, like Corpse, right? This Twitch streamer. That's how his voice is, like, very deep, and you've never seen his face. Like, corpse. That's what you have to become. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds too spooky. That sounds creepy. I'm out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm out on corpse.
Well,
no
he played Among Us.
With us?
But no, not with okay. Imagine. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's also a singer, I think. But anyway, I know him from Twitch.
Yeah.
So but he has like a super deep voice.
That we end up getting like the whole backstory then on Raju.
Yeah.
And we find out yes. like what he's really up to. Sasha, did you see this coming?
I feel like I didn't because I'm like, okay, one's Beam is the good guy, so Bootlicker is the bad guy. You know, to me it was very binary, but mm-hmm. I forgot that the British are the bad people. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why I forgot that, but you know I did. So I was like, he was just a lackey. Oops, my bad. But my mom called it from the start.
She knew.
As soon as he entered, my mom said, oh, he's the good guy. Yeah. She's like, there's no way. She's like, he's getting the Hiroki entry. It's impossible that he's a bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we got his whole backstory about how that yes. When he was a kid, he was a sharpshooter, Akiva.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when his dad gets killed, he dies a hero, and he promises him he would get everyone in the rebellion guns. That's like a big talking point for the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He must, yes. he will not rest until everyone gets a gun.
Yeah. So
and it's funny because
like, yeah,
yeah. It's, why it's funny, couldn't they just Sasha, rob it? Yeah,
yeah. It's funny because like another thing in this movie is like. There's very little gun usage. Like, they use arrows and they use their fists and legs, but like, you know, there's motorcycles on fire killing people, but they rarely use guns when they're like taking over the British, especially at the end. There's not a lot of shooting. I think they shoot like the only time they're shooting is when they like jump off a bridge or something and they're like midair, then they get a few shots off as one does. But this, so like, they don't really use the guns in the movie, like to, you know, to their benefit, but it is interesting. Like, is that what they're getting at? That the good guys all need guns here?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Like, it's giving gun control. No, I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm. But because I will say, right, when we see the scene of Raju's village basically being decimated by the British, I was like, wait, they didn't have a contingency plan of someone coming from the, like, you know, surrounding the British from the back? Because I think Ajay Devgan, which is the Bollywood star, Raju's dad, even says, right, like, oh, the British won't be able to go through the mountains just like, or in the forest, like, go there. So use the guerrilla tactics to kind of like surround them from the back, kill them, get their guns, and then shoot them. But instead, that didn't happen. I guess the plot needed to move forward in that way. Mm-hmm. So I think that the point was that we don't need guns. That's the British's thing. We're just as good on our own.
Yeah, I really thought that the theme of the film was that Raju felt like, okay, that really what everybody needs, like, we're not gonna be able to stop the British until everybody has a gun. And it wasn't until that he saw from Beam that it wasn't a gun that they needed. It was a song. that he literally says that. I'm not being like flip.
I know.
That they needed like somebody to inspire them, not weapons.
Which, I mean, I understand. I think that's why the British were able to take over India, right? Because because it's so diverse and every area had its own language and rulers that they were able to kind of turn us against each other. So I think that's what that's trying to get at, is that like we should all have been working together instead of kind of being at war with the divide and conquer strategy that the British are so good at. Like, we should have all been together instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Power of self.
So ultimately, like, we're going to see where then, Raju is going to, that he's like put in this position where he has to torture Beam like publicly. That's when like Beam like inspires everybody with, you know, his like example of like gets everybody like really, you know, very emotional about the whole situation. And they feel like that Raju is like a failure as a torturer, and they're going to go ahead and like go with like a different way that they're going to hang Beam. And ultimately, Raju is going to go and he's going to figure out a way to basically like sacrifice his cause to make sure that Beam ultimately is going to be free and is able to get away with Molly. But ultimately, it results in, yes, Beam is free, but Raju ends up being captured.
Yeah, because I think, one, the governor, right, is a little smart. So he's like, something's up. And then Raju has to quickly change his plans. And then I love that he's trying to kill the person behind Beam and Mully. But Beam is like, oh, he's trying to get us still. Right. So that means it's time. And he just slaps him with the log. I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, we just got logs laying around. I was like, please, if you took 1 second to talk, you know, and this is every movie ever, mm-hmm. I know, but like, if a character is just took 1 second mm-hmm. to freaking
talk. It could have been 90 minutes max.
Thank you. Okay. I was like, please, we still have now a whole hour left of this mm-hmm. damn movie because they have to find their way back to each other. We know.
Mm-hmm. So when Raju is captured, now, did a lot of time elapse or did Raju just have his hair like very neat throughout the film? Because it seems like that. I'm like, oh, did like a year go by? Why does he have such long hair?
Wikipedia says a few months.
Months had passed. Mm-hmm. His hair grows very fast.
Yeah.
Right? He had a very, short haircut and then he had very long hair.
Yeah. They needed to denote that he's disheveled and he's not like his perfect guy that he was.
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, Beam looks like his hair didn't grow. Like he must have been like, you know, he kept keeping up with like getting regular haircuts.
Yeah, probably.
Listen, Beam's been out here in these streets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what were they waiting for so long to like, they captured Raju and they just like kept him in a cell for months and months?
It seemed like a bad strategy, right? Mm-hmm. They're not like, they should have just chopped off his head day one. I don't know why they were keeping him in a hole and they weren't even freaking watching him. They couldn't even see him.
And it wasn't like they were like interrogating him so much, right?
Mm-mm.
They just come in and beat him up and tell him to stop working out.
I think that's when the arrogance, right? The British arrogance comes in the way mm-hmm. and they're just like, oh, right. We're just smart. Yeah. So we'll keep it. What did he say? Brink of death. But they're feeding him just enough.
No, he kept working out and getting more and more swole. And that they kept telling like, hey, stop exercising. But he kept doing it.
They saw this guy beat up like 3,000 people in one afternoon. And they're not like nearly scared enough of this guy.
Mm-hmm. Akiva, exactly. If you were incarcerated, how much would you work mm-hmm. out?
You know, I think about it. We moved to an office that has like a really, really, really nice gym. And I went to the orientation. And if you ask me honestly, I don't think I'm ever going to go. I don't think I'm going to go once.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I was in jail and I had nothing else to do, like, do I get books? Do I get access to books?
Not in this jail.
Just read.
Yeah. Not in this jail.
If there's no, I don't think I'd get swole, you know, like maybe I'd work out once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there was nothing else to do, I'd come up with excuses.
See, I think you need
to do it tomorrow.
But like, I feel like that you're an easy target to get like into fights. If you like, I think you
I'd charm them all. You know,
yeah,
we'd be doing podcasts in jail.
Yeah, you could do like a sports thing.
Yeah, I do think Akiva, Sasha. I think Akiva would be popular in jail. I feel like that, you know, Akiva is famously he's a guy's
Where's
guy.
This jail?
Yeah.
Would you be Mike the situation?
Yeah.
Because we see his before and after?
Right. Akiva would be in jail and be like, hey, who wants a box in my Super Bowl pool? Like, I think that he would really be like,
they don't love
racketeering.
It depends what jail.
Right.
Racketeering, I'd be okay. I think like mm-hmm. the tougher jails, they don't love.
Like,
my
hey,
kind,
who wants
you know?
In my March Madness pool?
Mm hmm. It's like, free.
Yeah. Don't beat up Akiva.
Yeah.
He's running the fantasy league.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You have to like make yourself invaluable, but mm-hmm. not with like brawn, but brains. Yeah.
I heard that if you can cut hair, then that also helps you from getting Ooh. Beat up too much. That's what I would try.
Well, I never heard that. You'd be the barber?
I would try, yeah.
Jail barber?
Now, do you get clippers, though?
Did you finally watch
though?
Get Hard?
I didn't watch that yet. But I did watch a Kevin Hart movie this week, but it wasn't that one. I don't know. Do they give you, like, I feel like they probably don't give you scissors. I don't know how you would do it.
No. No, they probably have special like jail.
Do you have clippers? Like, can you plug stuff in?
I don't think there's outlets. Yeah. I don't think there's any outlets.
So
in
how
jail
do you cut anybody's hair?
Yeah. The like jail, the warden, I think, could help you. You know, this is where the guards can maybe. Yeah.
Could they give you like a battery powered clippers? Like, could they charge the clippers and then let you have it?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it depends what kind of jail. I feel like white collar, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if, you know, a Supermax, they're giving you clippers necessarily.
Hey, do you think I'm committing a violent offense?
We really got off track because of their hair.
Well, because Roger has very long hair. Obviously, like they weren't letting anybody, or because he was like, he couldn't cut his own hair. He didn't have a mirror.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's like a Samson thing. Like, it's a source of his strength, not cutting his hair.
He got very powerful. I like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it turns out that, you know, Beam is like on the run and runs into, while he's on the run, Sita, who ends up telling the whole story of Raju.
It's a small country, so you just run into people sometimes.
Yes.
Apparently.
He's like, what
this is where you get mad at Indian movies. You know, you're just like, at least try.
Well, we used to joke about
it somehow.
In like Seinfeld, New York is like, you know, there's an 8-person town and everyone just runs into everyone.
That's true.
It's the same idea.
But maybe this was destiny that he was going to run into her.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he doesn't know it's Sita. Like, he has to, she has to explain, hey, it's like, you know, he's like, I, you know, my best friend is in trouble because of me. And she's like, well, I know this guy. By the way, she goes around telling people that he's undercover. Not a great plan, Sita. Like, you're going to get your man killed. He's like, he's undercover, but it's for our people. Like,
yeah, but
I think he wanted you to keep that a secret, lady.
Yeah, but I think that they already been knew because they were going to execute him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess at that point.
Yeah.
And right, she must have, because that other guy, right, who's with Raju, the older guy, he's probably been giving all this info back to the village.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She also had a good move. She told the British soldiers that everybody there had smallpox.
Really smart. Those
guys,
saved the day.
Those guys ran for it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they kicked her stomach, I thought this was because they have done it in other in Bollywood movies.
Oh my God.
I was like, she's pregnant, right? And then she loses the baby, because I was like, why did it have to be the stomach? But thankfully that they didn't go that way, and I'm happy.
Yeah.
But like, there's this like iconic scene where this woman literally, she's pregnant, and then she falls from the stairs, and like literally like a bouncy ball just like
keeps going.
Yeah, and she's pregnant, but somehow the baby is born.
Oh.
And she passes away. It's anyway. So I'm just saying, they like to do this a lot.
Mm-hmm. And Jenny somehow is like she knows the whole jail. She gives them the blueprint to the jail, and he's going to go like save Raju now.
Yeah.
He's going to break into the jail. It's Prison Break, part two.
Yeah.
Break into the jail.
Yeah, break into jail.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although he's not really in jail. He's just like in the ground somewhere.
Yeah. But this
he's
was
in like a manhole.
Go well, on. Yeah, it's like in solitary. And they messed up Raju's legs somehow. That this is like the one time we've seen like Raju anything like really mess him up, is that they sort of like they hit his legs really hard and he can't really walk. And so this was amazing, Sasha, that they basically have like kind of like get like this like chicken fight going, where then now Raju has like he's the upper body. They should have maybe like had like Raju like put like a trench coat on and try to sneak out of the jail like this. That like good night, everybody. But yeah, they're like fighting people, where Beam is like running, and then Raju is like the upper body.
This is where maybe, you know, if folks like this, like, I feel like we should watch. There's another movie where the dad, Ajay Devgan, is actually a police officer. And like, it's a silly version of this, where it's like he's dodging bullet. And it's like, what are you doing? But it works. Like, I didn't feel like it was silly, which I was very surprised by, because usually I was like, come on, give it a rest. Like, this is embarrassing. Like, other people watch this. Don't do this to us. But it worked for me. I was like, I'm not mad. Mm-hmm. Like, it worked.
Yeah. But this was one of the great action sequences.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. And it, like, I, when they go out of both of them, windmill onto the guard tower, like, that's when I was like, you, what?
Yeah, it's, mm-hmm. the guard tower is about 60 feet up, and they just, like, toss each other
it's
up.
It's a little
there.
Bit of a blur. Yeah.
In 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, it's about confidence. If you know you can get up there, you can just get up there. On
true, mm-hmm. Yeah. True, and you just have to work out, and anything can happen.
Well, mm-hmm. And you get that jail workout strength.
Yeah, Raju's just been like working out nonstop. Like he just has like a grate, and he's just like doing like pull ups on it all day long, which is amazing.
He has a lot of energy. He hasn't had anything to eat, but he can still climb up a 60-foot tower.
Mm-hmm. The sun is the energy. It's okay.
Yeah. And so
solar powered.
Yeah. And basically like they're going to make their move and they're going to go after like all of the top baddies at this point.
Yeah. It's like a 30-minute action sequence at this point where they mm-hmm. go and they go into the forest and they're using motorcycles as weapons and arrows everything under the sun.
Bow and arrow.
Everything's a weapon.
So the bow and arrow, this is where I was like, I think they're leaning into Hindu mythology with the Ram mm-hmm. specifically, because I think he finds the bow and arrow at a statue, like at the Lord Ram's statue. But I still enjoyed it, which is crazy because like I obviously was like, okay, how are all these bullets not hitting you? Like, get out of here, bro. But y'all, this is where, right, like they clock the gun where it's a double clock where it's right before this. It's where they're still on the chicken fight and Beam has two guns.
Yeah.
No, sorry. Raju has two guns because he's the sharpshooter, correct? And he's on top. Raju has two guns and Beam clocks that for him. Like he literally goes like, chick.
Yeah.
Because he's like the bottom. And I was like, mm-hmm. what? And I don't know why that it's like it's imprinted. It's core memory at this point. But the way they're just like walking and he's shooting people and then he just goes and I couldn't. I was like, this is too much.
That's teamwork.
Listen, show that at corporate events. Teamwork. That's mm-hmm. how it should be. Anticipate my needs.
These guys are on the same page. We saw with the dance.
They really have one body and one mind.
It's
dog. I love it.
We didn't mention, even though they're historical figures, they never met in real life, right, Sasha?
No.
They had separate arcs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so ultimately, like, they're going after all of the British bad guys. The wife who ends up taking Molly at the end of the movie, she ends up like wrapped up in like all the barbed wire and she gave like the whip with the barbed wire to Raju to hit Beam. But was this just like fate? Like there wasn't any agency to like how she ended up in that position, right?
No, I think that was on purpose. Like, I think that was a callback again.
It was from the filmmakers, but the guys didn't plan this, right?
No.
That wasn't payback.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No, the actress's name, by the way, Allison Duty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was Duty. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
She's even more evil, arguably, than the general or whatever.
Yes. Governor. Yeah. Yeah.
The governor.
Yeah.
She's just like evil for, you know.
She was horrible.
She was a real jerk.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a fan. Mm-hmm. Two thumbs down. I first of all, like, they're just wasting people in the forest. They get to the palace.
Yeah.
Why is there so much freaking TNT in the palace? Just like unsupervised TNT. Like that something was going to go wrong, even if it wasn't like the greatest two, you know, superheroes in the history of the world, like coming to your palace. Like at some point, bad is going to happen. You have all this exposed TNT. Seems in hindsight like a very bad plan.
I'm telling you, it's wild. Like, the plan doesn't make any sense. Like, how did he get a grenade and then he puts the grenade on the arrow and then pulls the clip and then lets the arrow go? Are you
Like six times he shoots grenades with arrows.
Like, what a way to shoot a grenade, you know? Like, what are we doing? Like, our military needs to learn. But This is where you're just like, oh, they're just trying to move the plot along. Like, I couldn't. I was like, just stop this TNT nonsense.
I mean, it was just effective.
The whole freaking palace.
Yeah.
And then finally, they get face to face with the governor, and then they just got his ass.
They got him. You know what this reminded me of? When the Game of Thrones spoilers, when the building collapses in the last or whatever, second to last episode of Game of Thrones, and on Cersei, like that's what I don't know. It felt like that, but then he survives. Like you see him afterwards, like come out of the rubble.
Yeah. And they got him with, and it was like a role reversal because the beam, he's got the gun now. And Raju, he's got the bow and arrow. It's sort of like, it used to be that, you would think that Beam would be the bow and arrow guy, but no, he's got the gun. And now it's Raju who gets to tell somebody else to load the gun, aim it, and shoot it.
Mm-hmm. Wasting a whole bullet.
No, this wasn't a waste, Akiva.
That's what he said. That's what he says. he calls back the... the bullet thing.
But I feel like that might have even like hurt that guy's feelings more. I'd say, you know what?
Yeah.
Don't even waste a bullet on this guy because he's having a bad day.
His wife was just like brutally killed.
They're like, oh no,
he's about to die.
Yeah, but
insult to.
But then if you told him, Akiva, that his life isn't even worth the cost of a bullet, he'd feel pretty bad about himself, I think, right before.
Yeah, it's like a roast right before you kill him.
He was already roasted in the fire.
Yeah, that's true.
He already got shot by the arrow.
And then when he gets shot, right, the blood splatters onto the saying where it says, "The sun never sets on the British Empire." Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think the good guys didn't. I mean, they weren't going to lose this one.
not after all this work, my god. I don't have another 3 hours. Yeah.
And then there was like another huge dance montage to close it out.
Yeah.
Is that like canon in the movie or is that just like essentially the credits and not really part of the movie?
Yeah, it's a credits. Yeah, now they've become like, I don't know what Bollywood especially is like trying to do, but they'll like have the title song is what it's called. This is not the title song, but I'm just saying usually they'll have like the title song with like the super crazy dance sequence at the end, basically to watch the credits. So a lot of people get angry because they're like, well, I wanted to like vibe out and you put it at the end and I'm pissed. So that's like a thing they do. But for here, I think they just had like a catchy song at the end of everything where Raju will educate Beam and, all this, all's well and good. So I think that was just like a nice ending. And then they needed, I think, Alia Butt to like do a little bit of dancing because that's also what she's good at. So I'm just assuming they needed to add that. And then the background, which I loved, had various freedom fighters at the end of that song. At the end credits. Mm-hmm. They had different freedom fighters in the background. So that was like a nice...
I ask a question about homage. Dancing sequences?
Yes.
Do the bad guys in the movie ever like show up in the end to like dance with the good guys? Does that happen sometimes?
Yeah. And usually it then becomes like comedy of like, we're going to play.
But they're too evil here, I think. It's too evil.
This is not. In a comedy movie, like for sure that would happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But not here. Yeah, this is like serious.
I don't even think that guy could dance. He doesn't strike me as someone who could dance.
Right. Maybe like the dancing bully from the start of the movie.
Yeah, that douche. I don't even know his name.
He was like a jerk, but he wasn't like pure evil. He didn't kill anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was his name Edward? I am looking at Wikipedia. Who cares? I don't care.
Who cares?
I don't want to say your name.
we don't say his name.
Bully is better.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and this was like a great dance sequence to close it all down.
I mean, we really haven't we could talk about these scenes. It's hard to do justice unless you've seen just how insane this movie is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's insane. Like there's 100 things happen that are crazier than anything you've ever seen in another movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, he freaking fist fights a wild animal. they're you know, flying off a bridge, like holding hands and like shooting in midair while jumping 50 feet. It's just crazy.
Yeah,
I loved it. And even the like little, the crazy sequences all made sense, which I will never say usually in like Indian movies, because usually you're just like, my God, just stop this. But it, all this craziness, it worked. Even the, when the tiger was about to attack Bheem, and then the and then the wolf like intercepted it, and they both like
they crashed,
headbutt each other. It's so good.
It seems like the tigers get very distracted. Like the tiger could be like chasing one thing, but then if you like just like dodge out of the way of one of the tigers, it'll just go find something else to chase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and tigers are supposed to be like evil, right? Like where lions will hunt for food, tigers will hunt for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sport. So that's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard it from said Tiger King, so I don't know if that's true.
Joe Exotic?
I'm gonna take it with... Yeah,
when you get to see him in person.
Like a tour.
Yeah. Tiger King himself told you that they were evil, and maybe he's like, that's why they're in these cages.
Listen, maybe. But no, but I've also like read that's why like the lion is the king of the jungle, mm-hmm. right? Because they're in packs and pry, whatever. Anyway, I don't know. I'm not. Ask Omer, the exotic animal vet, not me.
Yeah. Akiva, I checked out through the credits. I thought that maybe there'd be like some like post-credit like scene or anything like that.
Setting
up the next movie.
They didn't realize. I don't think they realized what kind of a gold mine they had on their hands.
I think they must have, right? I mean, you don't
they
spend
knew it was
this
good,
much
but
money.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's true. That's
but
true.
I don't know. Yeah, because to me, here's my conspiracy theory. Like, did they pay people for reviews? Because I'm telling you, the most random people are tweeting about this. And I was like, no, but there's so many other Indian movies. The same director.
Hold on. Did they pay you, Sasha, to come on
the
podcast?
Did you trick us?
Listen, I was very sad that I had to do this movie and not a Shah Rukh Khan movie. So I'm definitely not a plant.
I guess so. You could be sad and still take their money, though.
Yeah, you're sad.
I'll wipe my tears with the $100 bills, baby. but I don't know. Like, I will say I there's a little bit of conspiracy theory here because I'm telling you, YouTubers are posting about this.
Yeah.
And I was like, y'all not watching this movie. Like,
well,
what?
I think Netflix, I think it helped. It's very,
true,
it doesn't, like,
true.
The language doesn't matter. It is just very universal. Like,
and Squid Game,
there's something, Americans don't always love earnestness. And this movie, I don't want to say it's like fully earnest, but I think it's like very happy with what it is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's very comfortable in its own skin. And American movies, like, sometimes trying to be too cool for school. And here it's like, listen, this is ridiculous, but we appreciate. We're not like pretending it's not ridiculous. We're not giving reasons why it is. I think there's something very. So Alan Sepinwall is probably the most prominent, you know, TV critic and on the internet, you know, talking about like this is basically the best movie he's ever seen. Like people are
the best movies like, ever think, seen.
He said like not best, but he said his favorite movie ever. It is
wow.
Do you think this? I mean, like, I wonder if it's realistic because it got good reviews. I know it's a little bit more of an action movie than a serious movie. I wonder if it can like get Oscar stuff. I think it's not impossible that it could get nominated for Oscars.
Let's
certainly
see.
In like the
interesting,
you know, the technical
special effects. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The last Indian movie that got an Oscar was also similar. Okay, conspiracy part two, which I completely forgot about until right now. So is that like, why is it that usually movies that get like Oscar buzz, like, diverse movies are right, like it's about slavery, colonization, right? Like it can't be like joyful movies, like
right. It's
always
not just
like
a love story between two people.
Yeah, because the other Indian movie that's been nominated for an Oscar is actually about cricket, but it's about and we're talking about Lagan, if anyone has seen it, but it's about again the British and like doubling or tripling the tax on an Indian village, and then they have a cricket match and fight each like and whatever
for all the marbles.
Spoiler alert, obviously. Yeah, for all the marbles, and then obviously India wins even though they've never played cricket before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like how the first, you know, cricket match, I don't know, I'm just kidding, happens. But that movie, they lengthened an extra like I think an hour to make it 4 hours long to
become, oh my God.
Like, when it got released for an Oscar, something ridiculous like that. Mm-hmm. So that's my conspiracy part two, is like, is this so good? Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, it's the same formula as what popular movies become here too.
Sasha, well, I would believe anything. I think that I believe in that, you know, you've seen about these gentle minions. Mm-hmm. I think the minions, they paid people to be like, tell people, go be gentle minions.
100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Akiva, you would never do that, right? You would never wear a suit and go to watch Minions, right?
It would be hard to get a suit on me, especially in the summer. Mm-hmm. I did think, like, if my kids, you know, I'm home alone now for a month, but if my kids were around and wanted to go to that movie, I was thinking about making them dress up in suits. It would have been very cute.
Yeah, you would make
pictures sent to the family. But I don't know if I'd wear a suit. Mm. I think they'd see it if I showed them on TikTok, they'd think it was funny and different.
Yeah. Akiva, yeah. I'm waiting for them. I think
whoever did it first, like, they paid, and then people started doing it organically, but the first few people, like, hey, look at this trend. No, those kids all got paid to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there is, who was it? Dua Lipa? Oh my God. I can't remember who, but one singer, right, also said allegedly that her album, like, they wouldn't release it, the record company, unless she had like a viral TikTok moment. Mm-hmm. So it's just, so I don't know that it's outside a realm of possibility.
No, I think you're right. And you're a mess magnet. You know what's going on in Hollywood. Everyone's trying to fake these viral things now.
Yeah. So I would not do that. Sasha, Akiva dared me to try to start Gentile Minions. And I told him that I wasn't going to do that either.
No.
Not going to do that either, Akiva.
No, oh my God.
When the new Prince of Egypt comes out, you have to like dress in the toga and then the Gentile Minions.
No way. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay,
but in all seriousness, this was a great movie.
Yeah. Highest recommendations. Everyone should watch it. I told a bunch of people at work today, like, yeah, everyone's got a homework this week and everyone's got to watch RRR. So we can talk about it. Mm-hmm.
No, it was really good. And the another movie by the same director is like just as popular, Bahubali. So one and two. The second one, I think, has overall more money than RRR. So so that's why I'm confusion. Like, why is it this movie particular that took off?
Is it the Bahubali Netflix bump?
But Bahubali is also on Netflix. But it's not necessarily a Netflix movie. I think this one is, right?
Yeah.
Look at this. The top... The fourth movie highest ever is Hindi. The top three are not. So say Bollywood, y'all be stop this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anyway, so that was interesting that why is Bahubali not? Like, that's my conspiracy theory question. Is like, did they pay for these reviews? But it's a good movie, so it's fine. All's well that ends well.
Okay. Akiva, anything else on RRR?
No, I think, again, great. Everyone should watch it. I'm excited for what we watch next. I think maybe we'll travel to actual Bollywood next time. But I don't mean we'll physically go. Oh, okay. I mean we're going to watch a movie from there. We're still lazy.
Mm-hmm. Imagine like us actually going to Mumbai.
Pretty sweet.
For a movie.
I would do it.
Yeah.
We can tour,
okay?
If you love your craft, I always say, Sasha, art is pain. If you have to travel a long way just for one podcast, that's
Akiva's a good flyer.
What do you have to do?
Mm-hmm. Listen, Akiva, there's Indian Jews, so you have kosher food ready for you. Like, you're good.
Let's go. Mm-hmm. I'm in.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's ready
I've
for
never
you.
Been.
All right.
And we'll tour the whole Bollywood. Like, it's an actual, you can tour the whole, all the sets.
Yeah. Have you done that?
No one wants to do it with me. They said I'm cheesy.
See, that's why you have to go to Universal tours.
Listen, Rob, please. You're not wrong, okay? But no, and I will be taking my husband for the first time to Mumbai. Oh my God, he's Indian. To Mumbai, because he's South Indian. So I will be doing all those things then. Then there's one Bollywood tour in Switzerland, which is also on my list.
Oh my God.
Because All 2000s Bollywood or 90s 2000s used to do their love sequences. They would be magically in Switzerland instead of their kids.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. So that's that again, that's why I wanted to watch the Bollywood movies, because they're just so silly that you're just like, well, why didn't they kiss and now they're dancing on top of pyramids?
Is that code? It's like, so instead of
Yes, that's a code for their kissing and
can they not show people kissing in the movie?
Back then, no. Like kissing, like when I moved to America, I feel like kissing started in movies.
Was there kissing in this movie?
No.
Yeah. No.
Well, Akiva, is that why you liked it so much? Because famously, you say kissing is gross.
Kissing's gross. Yeah, it's true.
So Akiva has to start watching old Bollywood.
Old Bollywood movies.
Because now
I'll say, Mary, you want to go to Switzerland? She'll know what I'm talking about.
That's why he likes NFL so much.
Exactly. That's true. But they slap each other's
There's no
asses.
Kissing?
Yeah.
There's no kissing in football. That's
Oh my god, just crying. But yeah, anyway, so there Bollywood movies are very interesting for that reason, but I'm glad we did this and thank you so much for like watching, putting 3 hours of work into this.
No, this was a great pick. I hope everybody enjoyed hearing about it, and this was a really good choice for the podcast. All right. Sasha, are you going to stay for the mailbag?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right, so let's take a break. Okay, this is like the intermission when you can go and get your popcorn. Okay, get a drink, and then come back. Akiva, do people do that? Do people go to the bathroom during the commercial break on a podcast?
I think yes. Leave the show playing.
Mm-hmm.
Will be a commercial. You go to the bathroom. Just run back.
Okay.
All right. But wash your hands.
Yes, and then we will be right back after this.
The remix jingle, time for another, just like the sequel to How I Met Your Mother. Rob and Kiwi need a podcast, it's pretty established. Could have any guest like Tiffany Radish, they could take the podcast to great heights, appearing on Seth Meyers, the king of late night. You've given me and Phil hours of laughs, because we know that you watched the whole 2 hours of Cats. What? I can't believe how painful it is. I really, really wish that you were taking the piss. That means joking around, that's just British slang. Just spin the wheel as fast and furious as you can. It's sublime. I'm running out of things to say when I'm writing these lines. My name's Jack Fox, but I think that it's time to pass the mic to Phil T to spit some rhymes. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, okay, it's Phil and Jack Fox. Rob and Kiwi got games like Jack Fox. It's Rob and Akiva need a
bing bang.
Rob and Akiva need a
bing bang. Right.
So now it's me, Phil T. So pull up a chair and listen to Akiva talk about how he picked up a spare. Come to Rob and Akiva for barrels of banter, not Lizzie McGuire, but I'm duffing a wanker. If you don't go and leave a 5-star review, you can catch these hands back to Timbuktu. Watching S3F7 on HBO. If you hate, then it's L plus ratio. They've gone and watched Seinfeld. They've yet to watch Scum. Talking to my two dads. Well, where's my mom? Where's my mom, dads? Dads. Dads, where's my mom?
Yeah, mailbag 182. Just got done talking about RRR, and now here we are. It's ready to talk about the mailbag, Uncle Kiwi.
Yeah. Where's your mom? We're right here. People were mad last week. We didn't play Phil T. There he is.
Yeah. Okay. Kiwi had to go to work. People. Okay.
It's true. It's true. I'm a busy guy.
Yes.
Famously.
Okay.
Akiva, 3.5 jobs, 3.5 podcasts. Yeah, what's up?
Yes. You have 3.5 jobs?
I don't know. How many is a podcast the job?
I mean,
for you, but like not for the plebes. I don't know. Whatever.
The plebes.
Anyway. Yeah. That's like the regular people.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, we have Sasha here. I've got another surprise for the listeners at home.
What is it?
You win the hot takeoff, you get to come on a mailbag. We found the winner. We didn't know her. We never really heard of her before she won the mailbag. She won anonymously. Kirsten reads the all the submissions
very
anonymously,
exciting.
So we're not biased. As always, a woman won the hot takeoff, and here she is. Please welcome Rayanne Brock, winner of Hot Takeoff 2022, to the stage.
Rayanne, how are you?
Hello. I am chuffed to bits to be here.
Wow.
So excited to meet all of you. Really, really looking forward to being on the mailbag today.
Okay. Rayanne, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where are you calling from?
Absolutely. I am a South Dakotan raised, but currently living in the Tampa area. Mom of two, staying at home with them, teaching some music lessons on the side. So living the dream life.
And how did you discover Renap?
So I have been a Big Brother fan since season 6. Discovered Taryn's updates probably around BB19. Have been listening to RHAP ever since, and started with Survivor David versus Goliath, went back and watched everything. And so I've been with Renap since about episode 10. Definitely my favorite podcast.
All right, Ran, very exciting to have you here, and nice to get the chance to know you. Have you started listening to Mess Magnets yet?
You know what? I have listened to a couple episodes. Love Sasha. Love Kristen.
Yes, Queen. I'm glad to be here with you. This is so exciting.
So, Ran, congratulations on winning the Hot Takeoff. Have you told any people in your real life about your honors this week?
Absolutely. Before this podcast dropped Sunday night, I told my husband, oh man, I hope I can be featured on the podcast. Can't wait till it drops. My 5-month-old woke up at 3 a.m. to eat. Perfect. Turned it on. Heard that my hot take was in the second round. And I skipped ahead to the end to see, oh, what beat me out. Heard I won.
You went for the spoilers?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I did. And I promptly woke him up. I was so excited. And he
the baby or your husband?
My husband. Baby was already awake. We just had a little party in there. Mm-hmm. And he went right back to sleep. But I was too excited.
I mean, he couldn't have cared.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Of course not.
Yeah.
Huge deal.
Ran, which take were you the most passionate about?
I think the take that I was most passionate about is one that didn't even get read. And I don't know if I submitted it last time, but it was a food take.
Blame Kirsten.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Akiva, I got to know what is better, flat soda or carbonated? Because my hot take is flat soda is better than carbonated.
Disgusting.
Kirsten
would have blocked your email, I think, if you put that in. I mean, it's a very hot take in the sense that it's insane.
It is. So I think the message for the listeners is go for quantity over quality. I think I submitted.
Let Kirsten sort out the bodies.
And
let
her. Mm-hmm. She knows what she's doing.
Okay. Now,
poor Kirsten.
She does a lot of work for the hot takeoff, for sure. Sasha, did you have any hot takes? I feel like that you would be such a natural at the hot takeoff.
Right. People think that, but I actually am the most basic. So I don't think I have any hot takes. Like my most lukewarm take, which I think people agree, Mike Bloom, I think, called it a cold take, was that I believe every international season of any show is usually the better version. Like, especially reality shows. Like, I feel like America just like ruins reality TV. But I think that's like, duh. Like, we all watch Survivor South Africa. So, I don't have any, like, that's horrible. I know. But I think I agree with you, Rob, with the food. But again, is that like a hot take?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where I wish that I had a pill that I could take every day that gave me all the calories and necessary and vitamins. And
so you don't ever want to eat?
No. Like, I don't need like eating food. I could eat the same thing every day and never be like tired. Mm-hmm. So that's like
what do you think about? You're at work, it's like 11 o'clock. What are you thinking about?
That's what I'm saying. So it's like
talking to everyone, what's for lunch? That's the only thing that gets you through the day.
Yeah, but in my mind it's like the pill gets me full also, not just like so I'm full and
maybe on the weekend I could think about food. Like I'd much rather just like you know, just Monday to Friday, just like you know, I'll do
you
the
want
same
the
thing
pill
every day.
Also?
The food pill.
I guess you guys eat to live. You don't live to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
100%.
Okay. All right.
And maybe I wouldn't put on weight. I don't know. It's great. I love it.
So we talked about last week on the podcast. I opened up the mailbag with maybe a hot take of my own that I said I thought we should create a Rob and Akiva Facebook group. Mm-hmm. Renap needs a Facebook group. And Akiva, I went ahead and in honor of International Pull and Peel Twizzlers Day, celebrated on July 5th.
July 5th.
I created the Renap Needs a Facebook group. And I didn't really promote it, didn't really publicize it. Mm-hmm. It is password protected. Yeah. And so I thought that we're going to, it's anybody can find it, but you have to know the password to join it.
What's the password, Rob?
The password again, and we're only going to say the password on the, I better not see this password floating around on the social medias.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Not, no, do not post it.
The password is either Braxton123 exclamation point or Blaze123 exclamation point. If you try to join it, it will ask you, what's the password? You have to type in the password to be able to be admitted to the group. But I'm going to give out a link here for people who want to join. And you have to agree to the rules also.
What are the rules?
Okay, let me see.
Be nice to Rob.
No.
Be extra nice to Uncle Kiwi.
Let me see. Let me see if I can find the rules that you have to agree to. Group rules.
Save Don't make Rob. Fun of us that we're on Facebook in 2022.
No, save Rob from a snake bite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you? Yeah, it's a good question for everyone who's going to join.
Rule number one is don't be a jerk.
Okay. So far, I could keep that one.
Rule number two is be kind to Renap guests and contributors.
Yes. 100%.
Okay? And number three is try to keep your feedback constructive.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three rules right now. We could add more rules.
Okay.
Why do you say you want to make fun of people because they're on Facebook in 2020? What social media platform are you on that you wouldn't make fun of? Twitter?
I'm all about TikTok, baby.
No, you're not.
No, I don't have TikTok.
Yeah.
TikTok. I'm not making fun. I'm saying that other people can't make fun of us.
Mm-hmm. They can, but not in this group.
Is WhatsApp social media? I like WhatsApp.
No, that's not social media.
That's not social media. Mm-hmm. That's more like, okay.
Mm-hmm. So go
that's just texting.
Yeah, go to robiswebsite.com/RenapGroup and you will get the link to join Renap. Renap needs a Facebook group. And then you have to be approved to be able to create posts. And then we have to approve the posts. So we're really trying to keep any sort of jerks out.
Yeah, a lot of layers of defense here.
Yeah.
They should have learned something about that in RRO with the castle. We don't have any TNT in our building ready to explode.
Right. And then you act like a jerk one time, you're gone. That's it. Boom.
One strike and you're out. One strike. That's what the Yankees, the New York Yankees should have that rule when they're hitting. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have that rule.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So we are here to talk about future ideas for the mailbag. And so I guess we have two guests here. I guess we should open it up if anybody has any thoughts on what should be a future episode of Robin and Kimonita podcast.
Well, can I say something about one of our guests?
Yes.
We had a conversation offline.
Yeah.
It'll be very nice. We put five ideas up to the listeners for them to vote last week, you and I. We each had an idea, make it onto the wheel, but then the idea in third place was on the bubble. It was about 69.5%, 70.5%, depending on when it ended. It either made it or didn't.
Okay.
So the idea was down the habit hole, we're going to learn the listeners and listeners' friends and roommates and parents and relatives and whatever, their weirdest, most disgusting habits.
Yeah.
And the thought was that we would combine this. It's similar to Anonymous. People write into the Mess Magnets podcast and tell them.
Yeah.
We would join forces for that podcast.
Okay.
Is the suggestion. We are, I think, all on the same page, as long as you are, Rob, to do that.
Yes.
It will not come on the wheel immediately. I think it's after the summer. We will put it on the wheel in September.
Okay. Right.
Down the habit hole. But we'll have time to compile weird things over the summer.
Sounds good. Okay.
So you'll get more Sasha Joseph in your ears on this feed.
There you go.
I like it. And not just a summer blockbuster. Don't worry.
Not just a summer blockbuster. Coming this fall. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Rayanne, do you have an idea for us for number one?
I do.
Oh, this
I
counts
checked
as number
through the
one.
Wheel. Oh
yeah, I want to.
I did look through the wheel spreadsheet and didn't see this on there, but
hold on, we didn't play the intro for number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Okay.
I'm pitching to you, Rob and Akiva get busted. Whether or not
get
you
get busted
watching episodes of MythBusters, whether one of you watches season three, episode seven, one of you watches season seven, episode three. Banter with each other, discuss predictions, what do you think happened, and then the other one can fill in the gaps. Love with the Fast and Furious podcast that you were filling each other in on what happened rather than just both watching the same thing and recapping it. Or I can just go into the visual as season three, episode seven.
Sasha, do you ever watch Mythbusters?
Yeah, I even watched the X-rated version, Mancer.
What? The X-rated Mancers. Version of Mythbusters
Wait,
called
Mancers?
Have
y'all never seen the Mancers?
Never heard of it.
No.
News to me.
Wait, this has to go on the wheel.
Mancers?
Yes, and they were like things that men would want to know. And then they would like myth bust them.
Yeah.
Why did I watch this in high school?
Give
don't
an example
ask me.
Okay, here's Mancers.
There's only
okay,
one I remember,
Mancers, episode 3, how to tell if she's a hooker or a cop.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we have to like find the right
Let's
one.
See, season 3. Mm-hmm,
that might not be the right one.
Hmm. Maybe yeah. not.
Okay. So I don't know if that's I hope too many of our listeners aren't worried about that. Let's see.
But yeah, they have like why? Like I remember one. It was like the 4th of July special. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like
yeah, they're
ingrained
not,
in mm-hmm. my memory.
Yeah, they are not
horrible.
All like.
But you want to say it, Sasha? Or you don't want to say.
It's just okay. No, it's fine. It's like silly. But and I think because I'm a woman, maybe I can say it. But yeah, they like said what amount of clothing can be considered like okay for a bathing suit.
Mm-hmm.
Like until it's like considered naked, and they like literally did that. It's horrible. Like Mancers is weird as hell, y'all.
Right? But I think it's not all about like
no,
sex.
No. These are just why.
This
yeah.
is like here's one about freezing a fart. Here's about the
yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
deadliest weapon ever brought into a prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, best spots to take a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Fine cannibal dining.
Yeah. Is it the same crew, Sasha?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the same crew.
Mm-hmm.
And they had 4 seasons, believe it or not.
Best way to bribe a warlord.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Surviving without a spacesuit. That's a good mm-hmm. one.
Yep. Now, Ryan, are you a Mythbusters fan?
My husband is. And okay. since he's not a listener, yeah, so what would you listen to a podcast about? And that was the first thing
he
that
said
came
Mythbusters.
To mind. Mythbusters.
Akiva, have you watched Mythbusters?
I've never seen Mythbusters. I've never seen Mancers.
I'm interested. Now, should we watch an episode of Mythbusters, but then also bust myths from the listeners?
I'd love to bust a few myths. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to bust
another idea.
Myths.
Could be to have somebody from science, a frequent guest, Dr. Amanda or Liana from science. I mean, they'll get would be Dr. Christian Hubicki, but
mm-hmm,
we all
mm-hmm.
know his schedule is
yeah.
something.
I don't know if he knows what RENAP is. So, So we watch an episode of Mythbusters and then we bust some myths from the listeners.
Mm-hmm. We bust their myths.
Yeah.
And that's like super famous. I mm-hmm. feel like right now, like everything I see on YouTube and TikTok, right, is those food hacks. This could be another video podcast.
Rob's not going to want to do that if it's food hacks.
No, so. I know. I'm just giving an example. I would never suggest food for Rob unless I'm torturing mm-hmm. him.
Don't
but
torture
it,
me.
Yeah, but where I think it could be.
If Rob was in that prison in RRR, they would have been like, you have to keep eating. Eat.
No,
and
it's not
do
keep
like
eating,
a podcast.
It's keep talking
yeah.
about food.
Keep exactly. talking about food.
Oh my
Rob,
God.
Rob, you want to come to our, we're having a fruit tournament, Rob. Mm-hmm. You want to come? And Rob's like, no, just put mm-hmm. me out of my misery.
You ever have chicken
Rob's
going to
be the announcer.
With rosemary on it? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh
did you
God.
Ever, did you ever take the chicken and then, put ginger in it? No,
I mean,
never thought,
Indian
oh my God,
food.
That sounds, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, so I think like it would be really fun to because that's a, like it's really on TikTok, right? All those TikTok hacks people are super into watching right now. So it obviously listeners will submit, but also you could just Google some and like do them on the podcast. I think that would be funny.
Okay. So we're watching season 3, episode 7 of Mythbusters and mm-hmm. also then are busting the disco. Robin, get busted?
Get busted.
Okay. All right, you want to put this on the wheel, Akiva? What do you think?
I want to put it in the wheel waiting room. I want to tinker with it for a week.
Slow down. Okay, wheel waiting
I
room.
I want to put it in the waiting room. I got to okay. see what the episode is, want someone to watch it. And
mm-hmm.
You know, the wheel is beyond stacked right now. Mm-hmm. I want to, my threshold is very high.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Rayan, you got something else?
My other one
is this number two, Akiva?
Number two. I'll give you four, though.
Give you four?
So it'll be six total. Okay. 5B.
Number two, Rob and Akiva go to summer camp. Probably a little late in the game for this, but I love hearing Akiva's stories about summer camp, especially the ones involving your wife. Jordan Kalish could be a guest, listening to some of Allie's tales as well. Sporadic through NGOG. It'd be great.
You just want the Jews to come on and talk about camp.
Okay. I do.
I was like, and
Sacha,
Mike Bloom.
You go to summer camp growing up or no?
I did in India, but you know, let me not poo-poo this idea because I think it's funny. I want to make that clear. But also, Jewish summer camp prices a lot of low-income families out. And let me not start that drama now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's move on. I think it's a great idea and all the Jews should come on to do it.
So what is it? Like camp stories? One time at
campfires,
summer camp?
We have a fire and then like we're telling stories around a campfire?
No.
Rob, could you make a fire in there?
Yeah, I think it's called It's Giving Camp.
It's Giving Camp?
Yeah.
It's good.
I mean, I think it's good. I mean, I don't think you're going to get it. I don't think you're going to get
it. Are we in the trust tree here?
Yeah.
Are we in the trust tree here?
Yes.
I was walking on the street this week.
Okay.
And I saw a girl I knew from when, I mean, she's a woman now, but she was a girl when I knew her. From summer camp. I think we were friendly. And I could say hello. I haven't seen this person in 25 years or whatever. But like, I don't know. I was like, I was dressed all crazy. I was like,
what do you mean you were dressed crazy?
Because I go to work dressed crazy. I wear like a t-shirt.
What are you, the Philly Fanatic? What are you wearing?
It's a very casual work environment. So I was wearing pink shorts and a Seinfeld shirt.
Pink shorts and a Seinfeld shirt.
Pink shorts and a Seinfeld shirt. Yeah. So my Seinfeld shirt, it's like a, it was like an out, it was like a drawing of like of the core four. It's, okay. But it's not their face.
Okay.
It's a cool shirt.
All right.
And I'm like, hey, she's not going to listen. Of course I'm doing great. She's not going to think I'm doing great. It's going to be embarrassing. Then I'm going to have to like go over the top and be like, oh, I got all these jobs. I'm bragging like, just to make up for the fact that I look very unsuccessful in my pink, you know what I mean? And it's like, this person doesn't see me. And so I like avoided eye contact and ran away.
All right.
Instead of saying hi to this girl.
So this is a wild story. This is a wild story. Mm-hmm. So this is a woman that you saw from 20 years ago. Okay. You saw her on the street, recognized her instantly.
Well, I'll tell you why. She's like big on TikTok.
Okay. Because
otherwise I wouldn't have recognized her as an adult.
There's so many layers to this.
There's layers.
But it's also famously that you have talked for many years about how that you are face blind. You saw.
I would never recognize her except I've seen her on TikTok.
That one time you saw that a man who you thought
Grandpa?
Might be your grandfather in
still
Penn
think
Station,
it may have been. Yeah,
did not
correct.
Approach him because you were not sure if it was him or not.
But this is 100% true.
But this is a woman from summer camp from 20 years ago. You
20
were
years
confident
ago.
This was her.
I just can't breathe.
Why? Because I've seen her on TikTok in the last.
What
year.
Does she do on TikTok?
I don't want to die. I don't want to give it away.
Does she bust mitts?
After. She busts mitts.
About food?
She busts mitts.
Everybody's talking about rosemary chicken, but is it actually good?
Oh, no.
Busted. Anyway, that's my camp story. Rayan, would you like more stories like that?
Of course I would. I'd love to hear from the listeners, too.
I mean, I don't think that was technically a camp story.
My dad's still in summer. The camp I went to. Which, like Sasha said, is expensive. So my dad worked there, so he'd go for free.
Mm-hmm.
He's still there, though.
Okay, so Akiva, it sounds like you're not that.
No, I don't think it's a half baked. It's a funny idea. It's half baked. I think it's not like a fully fledged wheel idea.
Mm-hmm. What about if we got listeners?
Jordan Kalish coming on telling his camp stories, we're gonna get a lot of unsubscribes. You know,
mm-hmm. He can roast us. Yeah. He'll be good at that.
Yeah. But I also
maybe
think
someone writes it for him.
tell me if I'm somebody who didn't go to camp. So I've only heard camp stories. I've never had one, but I feel like a lot of them are like, you had to be there. It's like, okay,
you had to be there.
It was me and Louis and
Louis the Foot.
Yeah. And Jimmy S, and we were all in the cabin. And then, Leroy came in and he had the biggest wedgie. And then it's like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know.
All right, we're still working on it.
Or maybe, I could see it where listeners write in. Like, I could see it going either way.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good name.
You can make a Google form, see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, another anonymous where everyone just shares the wildest thing they did at camp.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
tinyurl.com/ Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Should we go to number three?
Let's please. Yes, please. Yes, please.
Okay.
Number three.
Okay.
Sasha, do you have an opinion on Drew Barrymore? You know celebrities. What's your Drew Barrymore take?
I like her. I like her new talk show. You know, she's had a hard life a little bit, but...
Yep.
Yeah.
Would not pass my Wikipedia rule.
Correct.
If your parent is a celebrity, you're out.
Yeah. She does have a crazy life. Yeah. Where she was like 7 years old and like was going like to parties and people were like giving her alcohol, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is. But she's definitely had an interesting life. And she was a movie star that now is sort of Haiti T. Anyway, we have a thing that we do sometimes on this podcast called the Five Spot, where we watch the same show. A daily show 5 times in 1 week, and we talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Connor from Connecticut says, put Drew Barrymore's show on the Five Spot. This is a great idea, he says. Drew Barrymore's talk show is insane. I watch it on mute at work. I would argue that is insane, Connor from Connecticut. And I'm always shocked by what I'm seeing. Would love to hear y'all break it down.
Yeah. Well, Keith said they had fake food on the set.
They had the fake food. Yeah, I saw the fake. Whatever. It's a whole another story.
Rand, do you ever watch the Drew Barrymore talk show?
Oh, not yet, but I would if it were on the Five Spot.
Oh, okay.
What do you think, Rob? 5 nights. So we've done Extra TV. We've done. We watched
Five
Jimmy
Nights
Fallon.
At Valley's,
we watched
The View.
We watched The View.
Yeah.
Is this the next thing we're gonna watch?
I'm open to it. Sasha, do you have any thoughts on us watching 5 days of Drew Barrymore show?
I think it could be fun. I mean, I've always seen like viral clips of it. I was trying to look up who they were fangirling over, but like someone had come on stage to do Zoom to do the interview. And like, she's literally comes out, like falls out of her chair and starts like crawling over to
like
this
a mom?
Actor. Basically. There are really funny moments. I wish I could find, like, tell you what it was about. I think she's really enjoyable. And I wouldn't mind it. I could see it.
Okay.
I like the idea, Rob.
Yes.
The only issue is I do believe it's probably like many shows like that on hiatus until September.
Oh.
So we'd have to watch. I mean, we could watch reruns. They just won't be talking. I don't think she's coming on and talking about the war in Ukraine. Like, I don't think it'll be super dated. Mm-hmm. You know, Drew Barrymore. And maybe they're only showing the best ones.
Okay, so I don't know. The wheel is stacked right now. Let's save it for the fall season.
Yeah, remind us in September, Amanda. We could talk about
this. This is going to be a huge
and
fall
Penn
season.
Badgley. Yes. That she literally falls over the like interview desk. Like she physically lunges to him.
Yeah.
So maybe you'll get a moment like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right,
Sasha,
can I
ask you a celebrity gossip question? What happened with Amy Schumer and Penn Badgley's wife?
Ooh.
Oh, right. Long story short, Penn Badgley's wife was Amy Schumer's doula.
Yeah.
And
Amy Schumer's doula. Okay.
Yes. And
try saying that
allegedly, that Amy Schumer terminated the contract, fired her, and said in the interview with him that, it was because I felt like not good about myself because your wife can do it all. And like, I was starting to feel like shitty about myself as a mom. Yeah.
But you don't buy it. You're not buying it.
No, I buy it because that's who she is. Like, I'm not an Amy Schumer stan. It's just I hate that she did that. Like, that's so gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she basically was like jealous.
I had to fire you.
Like she was just jealous. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is Penn Badgley's wife a famous doula? Like, I feel like that, I mean, that Penn Badgley doesn't know
if there's any famous doula.
Yeah, I just feel like, but Penn Badgley is very successful, right? Like, it seems like that's weird to me that, you know, like, you would think that she would have like a doula, like empire or anything or something.
Yeah, wait, his wife is
just random.
His wife is Domino Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say she went to summer camp probably when she was a kid. And is that Jemima's sister?
What?
Yeah, Jemima's sister. Okay.
Oh god. Okay.
The woman from Girls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
The ingenue. I don't know if that's the right.
Okay. Place, but who's ingenue was she?
I don't know. I don't know if I use the word ingenue correctly. It's been I was an English major, but it's been a while, you know. Mm-hmm. I forgot everything I ever knew.
Mm-hmm.
I ever ingenue. Number five.
It's only number four, right?
Number four, yeah.
Number four.
Okay.
This is from Jason Lee.
Okay. Oh, wow. From My Name is Earl?
No, I don't think it's that guy. It's called Robin Akiva. I have no idea what the F they're talking about. That's the name of the episode.
Yeah.
Robin Akiva talked to a lineup of people who are well-versed on an uncommonly known topic, and they only hear the name of that topic. So let's say a scientist presents the name of one aspect of their field of study. It could be something unusual, a hobby, an interest, whatever, an obscure theory. From just the name alone, Robin Akiva will say something like, I know what this is, or I've heard it, and then continue to expand on what they think the topic is. And the expert will give us a score on how well we know it just based on the name.
It's like a test.
I don't know if it's a test. It's like, okay, Sasha is the world expert in virtual relativity. And it's like, we have to guess what virtual relativity is. And she tells us how good we did.
Hmm.
Rob's making a face right
now.
Sounds
a little boring.
I'm going to put it on the wheel face. It's like, when's this over face?
Yeah. It's like, how good at BS are you?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a fully fledged idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what would your topic be?
Hold on. Rayanne, what are you saying?
It's been similar in different iterations of this have been talked about for a while in different versions. Yeah.
Rayanne's a regular historian here.
Yes.
A little bit. Yeah.
Rayanne, have you heard every episode of the show?
Since episode 10.
Every episode at least twice.
At least twice.
God, God bless you.
At least twice. Wow.
Used to do it on long runs when I was training for a half marathon. And then when we were in... When
you don't want to do the full one?
Both my babies. Not yet. I'm not Nicole.
Yes.
Life goal someday. But.
Yeah. Rayanne, so when you listen to a second
marathon
time,
if I could win.
Yeah. Rayanne, when you listen a second time, do you hear things that you missed the first time?
Do you realize we've been setting stuff up for like 60 weeks at a time? Like RRR, like there's a lot of like, you don't think this matters in episode 8. Then in episode 22, you're like, oh, Robin Akiva, they were planning the long game here.
There's the big payoff. And it's been interesting going back to listen to some of the biggest hits the last few weeks. I think one that had a better listen the second time through was the Mount Rushmore episode.
Oh, why?
I don't even remember that was a thing.
I think Mount Rushmore episode was the other. And then there's always Renap the Musical. Definitely worth a listen. But,
that's a hit.
Yeah.
There are over 20 ideas in census number 3. So something to come up.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
For the fall season. Of course, dummy thick wheel right now. Don't want to add it now. But
okay. Sasha, what would your area of expertise be? And like we would have to, what's the topic you'd give if you were an expert coming on that Rob and myself would have to BS our way through?
Yeah, mine would be like love and hip hop. I feel like I'm like super historian on or like celeb gossip in general. Mm-hmm. Or like, yeah, like something Indian. Like maybe we talk about like how it choreographed dancing or like a straight up just movie that I've watched so many times, like a Bollywood movie that I'm just obsessed with. So it had to be something like that, because I feel like everything else y'all know about. Y'all know too much.
We are very knowledgeable,
that's a lot
Sasha.
Of people say that.
That's what we hear.
Robin Akiva, if there's one issue with them, they know too much.
These guys know everything.
Like, you can
people in the comments
BS
say.
Your way through baseline is like, you know a lot. Like jack of all trades, right? Master of none. Mm-hmm. Like that's how I feel.
I mean, some would say Rob has mastered some trades.
Well, you know what I mean. For this particular podcast.
I got it.
So okay. It would have to be something super off the wall that no one, I think, would even think that you knew something about.
I had one other question for Rayanne. Do you feel like that because you are so tuned in to the podcast and listening multiple times, do you feel like that's why you were able to win the hot takeoff?
Cheat code.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, I maybe submitted too many food takes, but you have to have an idea of what is hot versus what is universal versus what was actually true or not true.
Yeah.
Now you don't, it's funny because you don't just have to think like, what would Akiva, Liana and Rob like? You have to think, what does Kirsten think Akiva, Liana and Rob would like? So there's really some second level thinking there because we don't pick the ideas. We're just putting, you know, weighing two against each other. So you have to get in the mind of Kirsten, a very scary place, and then try and guess what we're doing.
She's gonna come for you so bad.
Ah, it's all love. We love her. Okay. Number five.
Number five.
This is called Down the Actual Rabbit Hole.
Okay.
It's from Yael, but not my sister Yael, different Yael. She says, listeners present their best Wikipedia rabbit holes or craziest internet finds that they've ever found. Rob and Akiva go over and rate the rabbit hole king of the hill style.
So how are they
presenting? You ever
presenting?
Go on a Wikipedia rabbit hole, Rob?
Not really. Maybe I've gone more down like a YouTube rabbit hole. But
those are tough to get out of.
Yeah. What would like, in how would somebody present their Wikipedia rabbit hole?
Sasha, you are a Wikipedia rabbit hole person ever.
I could, yeah, I couldn't tell you off the wall, but yes, like I said, I like fun conspiracy theories because I feel like now when people say that, it's like it goes a little crazy, but you know, I mean, like fun ones.
Let's reclaim conspiracy theories.
Thank you.
That's what we're trying. We've been trying to do it.
Exactly. So yeah.
So like, true, let's say it's you know, craziest volcano explosions of the 20th century, and you're like, hey guys, I got this story for you. And then you're telling, basically you're sort of recapping the story, let's say in 2 minutes or less, this Wikipedia. And then we have to say like, all right, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's not crazy. Is there something there?
It's like you're
true
on like,
crime
oh,
would be a good one.
Like Mount St. Helens. Oh, Helen Hunt. Oh, okay. The Hunt for Red October.
But I think they're going on a rabbit hole, but they're not like giving us a lot of them. They're like finding the craziest one. Like they've gone down the rabbit hole. They found one wild thing and they're pitching one thing, not like a series.
I think that this is one we're going to have to hear some examples from people because.
Yeah, give us an example. If somebody's like, trust me, I'm your cleanup hitter. I know like this is going to rock your world. Like it's the craziest Wikipedia page. And then we can find a few more. I'm fine. But I agree. I think I need the ideas to come to us before we just give this, you know, a straight pass of the wheel.
Any true crime could be that.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're researching even one true crime murder, it's done. It's a wrap. Like because there's unsolved true crime. Because you're like, well, if this is a theory. Well, so is this one. Well, so is that one. Did the owl do it? I don't know. So I think like true crime, that could be a fun, like that's just one example, but
yeah,
I think you can't come up with like, let me tell you about geodes. You have to actually have some tea.
What one Wikipedia rabbit hole I've been down is like the development hell movie ones, like sequels or big type of movies that never came out.
Okay.
For whatever reason, they like got stuck in development hell forever.
Can you tell
us
about one?
I haven't done it in a while, but just, you know, or like the like Chinese Democracy, like the Guns N' Roses album, that sort of thing. That was in development hell for like 15 years before it came out. Anyway, number 5B.
5B? Okay. Hold on.
This is from Chris. I think this is going to get.
Number 5.
I think this is going to quickly get nixed, but it's the most recent one in. I'm going to read it here. It's from Chris. It's called Seth MacFarlane Package. Rob and Akiva watched the season 3, episode 7 of Seth MacFarlane's main cartoon shows, Family Guy, American Dad, and The Cleveland Show.
Is the Cleveland Show get 3 seasons?
I think it did, yeah.
Yeah.
Family Guy, Lois takes up taijutsu after Leifer has come to Quahog, but she becomes much more aggressive.
I don't think American he's Bob's Dad, whatever. Burgers.
He's not Bob's Burgers. American Dad and Cleveland.
I don't think so.
So they've got all 3 shows. I don't think it's anyone's asking for this, really, other than Chris, who asked very nicely.
Yeah.
Sasha, you think anybody wants to hear this? The 3 Seth MacFarlane
animated
shows?
What about the Orville? I feel like,
no.
That didn't make it to season 3, did it?
I think it's season 4 on now?
Oh, I don't know.
Let's go down the Wikipedia rabbit hole.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think people care. Like, I'm sure he's doing great, making a lot of money. I don't think anybody cares about Seth MacFarlane anymore.
Well, hold on. Don't his shows regularly place on Chester's top 10 shows of the year?
Not anymore. A couple years ago, he took them off. That's a good callback. But
yeah, season 3 of The Orville is premiering soon.
Maybe you can put Ted in the crappy movie diaper.
Oh. Well, it's not crappy, is it?
Was there a Ted 2 also?
That's crappy.
Yeah, Ted 2, a 2015 film.
Is it bad enough for like our purposes? I think it was just not good. I don't think it was like... I don't think there was any joy in it. You know what I mean? I think it was just meh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true.
Okay, Ted 2 grossed $215 million. Yeah. He hosted the Oscars, Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, like, I have no problem with Seth MacFarlane. I just think it's like... His era is long since gone. I don't know why we'd be diving back in unless like something was happening, you know?
Okay.
Because he's coming on the show with us. I don't think we need
Ted
to do it.
Ted 3? What the hell?
They're doing a Ted 3?
A Ted TV series is in the works.
Apparently, yeah. That's probably development hell. There's a legal battle over the Ted franchise.
Oh, my God.
Bruh.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there will be a Ted 3, allegedly.
What's your job? Well, I'm a lawyer and I fight for the future of Ted 3.
Yeah, forget all of the Wikipedia rabbit holes. Much better is like when you just like Google something and then there's like all of the questions that are on here. Like, I'm on like, I Googled Ted 2 and then there's a bunch of questions like, why did Mila Kunis not star in Ted 2? Like, oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's a rabbit hole.
The plot was changed to Ted's legal battle. Ironically, Ted 2 was about a legal battle, which necessitated need for a lawyer character. And according to MacFarlane, at least, this left little room for Laurie to play a role. Mila Kunis was also pregnant around the time of Ted 2.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. How much did Mark Wahlberg make for Ted 2? That's interesting.
Isn't that a YouTube series where celebs like do the they Google them or they answer the most Google questions?
Oh, that's cool.
So that could be a thing y'all do. I forget what it's called, but I think I'll look it up.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about what's coming up on the wheel. So we can get to the spin. Here we go. Season 3, episode 7. I got a fishbowl back here behind me. The coin flip, the crappy movie diaper, guest choice. Now, how would we decide a guest choice with 2 guests, Akiva?
They will have, like, until they can come to an agreement, we will wait here. Yeah. If it's a day, a week, a month, or even a year.
With all due respect to Rayanne. I mean, I believe that Sasha is
Sasha's the guest.
Is the guest, and Rayanne is here for the mailbag.
Happy to compete to Sasha.
No,
but
Rayanne's my ringer. What do you mean? Like you are the historian, so we will work together.
Okay,
like, period. Yes.
We have the oops all mailbag.
Social game, Sasha.
Listener's choice. I literally just told you. And by the way, I got an email from Mike Christensen this week that I've been saying that we'll do the mailbag first in that episode. He says that is not the case. I have no idea how it will actually work, but he says stop saying that we'll do the mailbag first in that episode.
Well, Mike Christensen, I say to you, stop saying that Rob should stop saying that because what are we talking about? I don't know. You're not in charge, Mike. We like you.
Well, I was planning the episode with Sarah Carradine.
Is he in charge? I didn't know Mike was in charge. I forget. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
I apologize.
Renappers gone wild. Rob and Akiva need a new catchphrase. Rob and Akiva hit rock bottom. Air Buds. Rob and Akiva are unhinged. Name that tune. Transform X. The Lying episode. Wheel of Podcasters. Does Nicole Know It? And Dual Intentions.
Got a lot going on. A couple things not eligible this week. Name That Tune, Will From America's Not Around.
Oh, man.
Transform X, I just can't watch 8 movies this week. We'll save that for next week.
I mean, we're recording this. You'd have like 11 days.
Do you want to? I'm so busy. I'm so busy.
Okay. All right.
We could talk about it offline. I'm a busy boy.
Okay. Isn't your family gone for like a month?
Yeah. They're gone. Rob, I get up at the crack of dawn, 7:20, and all I do, except today I overslept to 8:20 because my alarm, I shut it off for a meeting yesterday. I never turned it back on.
Yeah. So.
Anyway. I shut off my alarm this morning. Like I forgot to set up my alarm. I woke up at 8:20. I ran out the door. There's a bus. I missed the bus. I'm like running to catch the bus. Famously once broke my foot doing this exact same thing. Running to catch it. He stops to pick somebody up. I'm like 7 feet behind the guy. He keeps going. And I know there's no bus fucking half hour. I'm gonna be so late to work. I just like let out like a guttural scream I've never done in my life. Like, no. And it must have been so loud that he stopped the bus in the middle of the street and he let me on and berated me for the entire, like for the next 10 minutes, like on the, I didn't know one word he was saying. I didn't understand it.
Why?
He was, not a Kiva living in a Bollywood movie.
Right.
Like, he was just like,
So it's not the same bus driver like every day? Like you don't take the same bus, or is it always a different guy?
It's once in a while you will see the same person, but it's not the same person on the same route.
Oh, would you rather have missed the bus and been 30 minutes late to work, or made the bus and been berated by the bus driver for
I didn't mind. I was so, first of all, I'm not really in shape. As we established, I wouldn't even work out in jail. So I was like huffing and puffing for like the whole time he was doing it, like catching my breath still, because I had run to try and catch the bus unsuccessfully at first. And I didn't mind that, one, because I didn't really understand what he was saying, and two, because I had my headphones in also. But he was just like very mad, but like also giving me some advice, it sounded like.
Okay. And do you feel like a bus driver could win Big Brother?
Not that guy. His social game stunk, but some of them could.
You feel like that a lot of the bus drivers seem like they could win Big Brother?
I think some of them could probably win.
Okay. Do you think we have a lot of bus drivers that listen to the podcast?
Do we have a lot? Well, Brian Cohen used to be at Bus Driver's Roost, but I don't think he was ever actually a bus driver.
Did Brian Cohen ever drive a bus? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Then... we have okay, is that everything? Okay, yeah.
You said everything. Okay. Huge wheel. A lot of stuff going on.
Rayanne, are you rooting for something?
I'm rooting for either Rock Bottom or Renapper's Gone Wild.
Oh.
Okay.
Ooh,
okay.
Same. See, already on the same page.
Okay. We haven't played a game in a while. I'd love to play one of the game shows.
Okay. Let's see what comes up on episode number 183. Rob and Akiva need a podcast, and it's going to be, oh, wow. Okay, well, Akiva, you wanted to play a game. How about a game with 10 players knocking each other out?
Ooh.
After we talk about the film Cruel Intentions, it's time for Dual Intentions.
10-1. All right. So if, for people who don't know what that is, there's going to be 10 podcasters, 10 guests, friends of the show. Come on, they will all have to have watched the movie Cruel Intentions.
I believe the round one will be questions about the film Cruel Intentions.
Maybe two, if they're watching the whole movie, maybe two of the rounds will be Cruel Intentions.
The first one and then another random one.
Correct.
But it won't be straight up trivia. Yeah.
Won't be straight up. It won't be trivia. You just have to watch the movie. And maybe we'll talk about it. You want to watch the movie this week also or no?
Sure. I mean, I don't think I've seen it maybe since I was in college.
Yeah, we can watch it. I mean, we don't have to talk about it for more than a couple minutes unless we have a funny take.
But
yeah, we will get 10 great guests. They will be playing games. There will be some fun challenges. People will be challenging each other. There'll be some
interesting wrinkles. How do people apply to be on Dual Intentions?
I ask you to be on this.
He's the backstage boss.
The backstage boss. Do you have to have to be in the Facebook group?
No, you don't have to be in the Facebook group.
Okay.
I mean, maybe there will be, how about this? There will be times where I will ask for guests from the Facebook group, but not this week. How about that?
What are your criteria for asking people to be on Dual Intentions?
I think if it's a name people know will help, because we're going to have 10 guests. So I think it will give people context if they know the name of the person. Rob, listen.
All right.
This isn't my first podcast rodeo. I'm producing podcasts in my sleep. That's why I'm sleeping so long and missing buses.
Akiva.
Yes.
Do we know anybody in the podcast community that might be able to contact Penn Badgley? Because I've got a wild idea. It's called Doula Intentions.
Well, please end this right now.
Get Amy Schumer.
Oh, so Penn Badgley's wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't Penn Badgley's wife.
Yeah.
Is Domino Kirk.
Yeah.
Domino's Kirk is Jemima Kirk. My sister and Jemima married first cousins, but Jemima, so in theory. But,
what is it,
but she
10 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
Okay. But she got divorced, Jemima. All right.
Boy.
But my sister and her did marry first cousins.
That they did not marry their own first cousins. They married.
No, they married two gentlemen who were first cousins with each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dual intentions
but
coming up.
I don't think I could even get the email address there to.
Okay. It's worth a shot. Okay. Mm-hmm. Rayanne, do you have anything you want to plug or tell people to check out where you publish your hot takes regularly?
So maybe not my hot takes, not a hot take. And I know this isn't the B&B, but I love to plug the website apraxia-kids.org. Raise awareness for childhood apraxia of speech, something that we suspect my son has. He was diagnosed with ocular motor apraxia about 4 months ago, 10 days before my younger son was born. So we're just diving into that world. Something I had never heard of. I'm guessing you haven't.
Yeah. What is that?
So apraxia is a neurological condition. There are different types of it. Basically, your muscles don't remember what they're supposed to do. So for my son, it's how his eyes are supposed to track. He just can't track things correctly. He does head thrusts instead. Really adorable now that he's two, but it'll probably cause reading issues later in life. And childhood apraxia of speech is much more common, usually found in children who are struggling to talk. They know what they want to say, but their mouth just physically can't do it. Every once in a while, their brain remembers, then all of a sudden they'll have a long sentence or something and then go back to not being able to talk. So it's rewiring the brain, being able to talk. So apraxia-kids.org.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up, and hope everything is going okay.
Thank you. It's just one of those things. Be kind to everyone. You never know what hidden disabilities people might have. It's not something that you would know necessarily until you get to interact with them a little bit. So
yeah,
kindness to everyone.
Okay, a great message from a great hot take artist. Thank you for joining us for the mailbag this week.
Oh, and my pleasure.
What else can we say about Sasha Joseph, who came in and talked us through RRR? You could hear her on Mess Magnets every week. You could hear her, I believe, this Sunday night. We're going to be talking about Big Brother.
Yeah. We'll be talking all the mess. I can't wait.
And what else are you up to these days, Sasha?
Yeah, and because, I'm not done talking about the British and colonizers.
Okay.
So I will be on Post-Show Recaps Miss Marvel coverage these next two episodes. Yes, I'm so excited to be talking this amazing show. Y'all are sleeping on it if you're not watching it yet. But I'm not sure when it drops, but we're recording soon. So I'm sure it'll be out by the time this podcast goes up. So go check that out over on Post-Show Recaps. And Survivor South Africa coverage from Jason Orch and I will be coming up over on Silent Podcast. That's wherever you get your podcast. Just look up Silent Podcast. And in addition, to Mess Magnets, of course. So that is it. And you can follow me on Twitter at funsize_04. And I can't believe it. Another summer gone. Another summer with Renap. So much fun.
Another summer blockbuster.
Right. What do you think about that? Sasha, we like to rate people's Twitter handles. What do you think about the underscore?
Oh,
fun size underscore 04.
We know.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Look, we don't need to drag Sasha about this.
We're not dragging her. We're trying to help her the underscore.
Yeah, I think the fun size is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
great. Well, I'm not unique, and 10 other when people have it, okay? Is that my
fault? But 04 was taken?
What's 04?
Oh yeah, Fun Size 04 was taken. Yes, it's my like line number. If anyone was in a sorority, you know, that was my number in my line. Mm-hmm. So that's where 4 comes from. Yeah,
yeah. It's like hockey.
Fun Size 4 sounds stupid, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's like you flopped on Fantastic Four and now you're Fun Size. So like, it doesn't work, I think.
What about like Fun Size? So
you gotta
Fun Size for you.
Absolutely not for them. For, <yeah. laughs> Rob, the amount of people I drag on Twitter, you know I'm not for them.
It's not for you. Fun Size, absolutely. Not for you.
Yeah, maybe. Fun Size, not for you.
So I just give a Baker Mayfield take.
I can't believe it. He's free, everyone. Okay. Although the trade is garbage. Okay. Y'all really try to play in that man's face. I see you, but it's okay. I can't.
What do you mean the trade is garbage?
Like, they give up nothing for him.
Okay. Yeah. So who's that? But are you, that Sasha is a Baker Mayfield fan or?
Of course.
Yeah, she's a Baker Mayfield fan.
So that you should be happy that you.
Yeah,
that
if it's you fine.
Are, if you are rooting for Baker Mayfield, be happy the team that got him gave up nothing, because if they gave up like a lot of assets, they'd be like, hey, now we have nothing to build around Baker.
Story of his life, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, I think he's actually going to be good. Wait. Poor Sam Darnold. Can't catch a break.
How about Robbie Anderson tweeting, our old guy tweeting no, Instagram no, when Baker got traded. No,
they need to get Saquon Barkley also in there, and then they can have the top three all picks three. From 2018.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. See, I just feel like people are dragging Baker too much.
For
like,
what?
Do we forget how trash Browns were? Like, I'm confusion.
Yeah.
Like, remember, didn't they have that freezer? What do you mean
were, Sasha?
Better now because of him.
Look at what they have
the
going
bar
on now.
Is in hell, I know.
Well,
listen, that's their problem. We talked about Deshaun Watson's dumbass on Magnus too, but he's trash and the Browns are trash. But I can't trash the Browns too much because I think 4 other Sooner players have been drafted on the Browns. So you know, I'm an Oklahoma fan. Okay, so the point is Baker's free. And I can't wait for, I think it's week 1, right? Carolina Browns.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah,
so let's go. I can't wait. Can't wait.
Okay. All right, Jacoby Brissett.
More football talk on Renap than 32 fans.
Yeah. Let me stop. I know. Don't get me started on the Sooners. It's horrible.
Okay. All right. And then Uncle Kiwi, what's coming up for you?
Mm-hmm. We actually recorded a couple episodes of 32 fans this week.
Yeah.
Did a music one, did a patron episode that had a little music, but also we just talked for a while. And NGOG, you know, people are buzzing that maybe it's coming back.
Okay.
I've heard the buzzes, but I can't confirm them yet.
Okay. All right. And then of course, we've got Big Brother 24. Rayanne, thumbs up or thumbs down on Big Brother 24 so far?
You know, I gotta say, I watched my first episode of The Challenge last night, and I think the challenge premiere was better than the Big Brother.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
challenge premiere was better. That was very exciting, of course. Check out the Challenge wrap up with Allie and Brian every single week. I actually got the chance to do an exit interview for the Challenge this morning. We're recording on Thursday. So that's up as well. And then over on Nothing But Netflix this week, Chappelle and I are going to be talking about a brand new Netflix series on Kiwi. It's called How to Build a Sex Room.
Okay.
With special guest Puya Zambakili.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay.
Quite right. The crew.
All right.
Chappelle, I'm sure, will behave himself.
Yes. Oh, we've got to talk about what did we learn today?
What did we learn? Let's talk about it.
Okay. All right. Here we go. So let me just bring that up real quick. Rayanne, do you like that segment?
Hey, it could go.
It could go.
She's got hot takes. What the hell?
I'm all about the hot takes.
That's a true fan right there. Okay. Mm.
It could
She's
go.
Like, I can the vote. Criticize to our faces. What I love.
Yeah. Fun Size, not for us. Okay. All right. What did we learn today? Episode 182. What did we learn today? Today, we learned that sometimes your best friend could also be doubling as your worst enemy. And also, your friendship is more precious than my life.
Rob.
Yeah?
Today we learned that there is three R's, but really the fourth R is for retirement. I announced my retirement. No, we learned the main thing we learned is if you're going to be the most terrible people in the world and come up with evil plots, don't hide the TNT in the palace.
All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.